Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy. Howdy, hi.
Hattie, Hattie.
We've got no Beth Belcher tape for you today. And it's just as well. Mike just found out moments ago about the passing of CNR.
Oh. I really didn't know until I came in the studio. And that's very rare because we have a bit of a phone tree here.
And we just played Match Game.
Yeah.
So without further ado.
Charles. Couldn't we get her own show? And I said very similar to Williams, but in the left one she recently had a shot, so it's bun.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles. Well, you know, usually on the nighttime show, I let it go for about, I think it's 10 or 11 minutes, and then just for a change of pace, I come up with a match.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
We may have a boring answer. Paint your head.
Paint your head.
Karen, you got a match with Priest.
I'm a personal friend of Dorothy Hamill. I really adore her. And I chose Ice.
Oh.
Just the way we were.
I guarantee you, no one's giving the guy a send-off like this.
Hey, no, and he deserves it.
I'm a personal friend of Dorothy Hamill. I said wedding.
He's crazy.
Rolling pin.
A rolling pin.
Ooh, thank you.
Charles?
Why is my collar voice going up?
Because that's a
mouth.
What do you say, Chuck?
Crow's feet have crow's feet.
Yeah.
All the way we were.
And now a word from one of the eulogists.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Hi, Craig.
CNR.
I have a lot in common with him because I'm very into athletics.
Yeah, I bet you are.
That's why I wear the shirt on backwards, because the number could not be seen by the audience. You know,
right.
So I wouldn't show favoritism.
Right.
I also said the correct answer, scuba diving school. Pearl.
His scuba diving school.
You get the idea.
That was a lovely. You know, what a lovely tribute.
Really beautiful.
And nobody's doing that for old Charles Nelson Reilly.
Good time.
Brought us a lot of a pleasure.
As long as we're on the topic of game shows, he was on Match Game. Yes, Match Game historian Rob Spiewak.
I just thought it would be fitting to end with the fact that Charles was survived by his partner, Scott Hughes.
Very nice.
Partner Scott.
Scott Michael Hughes.
On Friday's episode, we mentioned the guy on The Price Is Right. We put it up on the front page of our website,
right,
who kept guessing 420 Bob for everything.
Right. Right.
Let's hear a bit of that.
Presenting the stately and picturesque arbor from the intimategardener.com by Rustic Natural Cedar. It's made of Western Red Cedar and is sure to enhance any garden.
You can click and watch this at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Bidding begin with Evan.
I've waited all my life to say this, Bob.
$420. $420? Tiffany, you are.
$999.
Her bid is $999 and now $50.
$500.
$500. That was your
$650. No.
$650.
Okay, so now here's the second item.
Okay.
A cool electric guitar. A pro with a PV Raptor Plus electric guitar and Transtube 112 EFX amp with
a... Sounds like a guitar, Bob.
A guitar. You're ready to rock with PV.
Kathleen, you are bidder number one.
Kathleen?
$1,500?
Evan?
$1,420,
Bob. $1,420.
Still counts, though. Her bid is $1,300 and now $50.
$1.
$1,420. Does he do it again?
He gets one more item to bid on.
Oh, good.
It's entertaining karaoke equipment.
SK
karaoke equipment.
From Party Time Karaoke.
Mike will be using it the Charles Nelson Reilly way.
Some of the best sounding music on the market.
Here it is, Bob.
Singing karaoke
with
your friends and family. From Party Time Karaoke.
Angela, what do you bid on that price?
I'll go with $325.
She bids $325. Now I turn to you, Kathleen.
That's Kathleen. Evan is the kid. Evan's the stoner.
$250, Evan.
Our hero,
Evan.
What was her bid, Bob?
$250, $325.
You know I'm gonna have to go for $420, Bob.
Tiffany, you got.
That's fantastic.
Did he win?
No.
Oh, 421.
She wins on 421.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
She wins on. Oh, that is great. I think I'll have to go with 420, Bob.
So anyway, all that video.
Evan.
Is up on the
Evan the stoner.
One more quick tape for you, and then we'll start the show.
Good.
Joe Ardinger made a drunken phone call this weekend to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It was about Alice Cooper, I think. Who did he call?
Yeah, there was two calls.
Two calls.
Two drunk calls from
Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
to you, Rob?
One to me, one to John.
Mm-hmm.
Joe was a traveling man this weekend.
Okay, are they sliced? Are they spliced together?
And spiced together.
Okay,
sliced and sliced.
Here we go. Two calls, and then we'll start the show. Drunk Joe, Saturday night.
Next message from
Joe.
Received May 27th at 11:22 p.m.
Oh dear.
Yo, I just met Alice Cooper in Las Vegas. Yeah. Anyway, see you on Tuesday. Oh, I'll be wrecked. Bye.
He'll be wrecked.
First saved message.
Hey, you and Rob aren't picking up your phones, but I'm in Vegas. I just rode the elevator down with Alice Cooper. Mother $1 trillion baby Alice Cooper. And I was going to take his picture, but he didn't really seem into it, and he thanked me for not. So now I'm calling everybody in the world. I just met Alice Cooper. Bye.
Bye, Don.
Is she really in Vegas?
Yeah.
She's going to Vegas.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
You are clearly unstable.
That's so gay.
Oh, stop it, please. Don't tell me about Alice Cooper.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Hey.
We got no choice.
What glorious queen.
You know.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Hey, who are you?
My name's Barack Obama, and I'm running for president.
No political stuff now, dude. Yeah,
you can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Yes, we are.
Dongo!
Everybody happy?
Is everybody happy?
Let's go to the Today Show. Let's see what the whores in Kansas are doing.
In parts of Kansas, pumps are working around the clock trying to dry out flooded homes.
The pumps of Kansas.
The pumps.
I know them.
Right.
What not?
Uh-oh. Here's the big guy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Don and Mike.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Here's what I was looking for. Is everybody happy?
Is everybody happy?
How about you, Stinky
McStinkface? Stinky
McStinkface! We'll never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Well, it's time for...
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Big,
bang, 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 bang. I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Hi there, little brains. We're little brains just like you.
Sure are, Don.
Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode on this Tuesday that feels like a Monday.
That's always good.
Some of us spent the weekend in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Some of us spent the weekend in hell.
We'll hear about all of our weekends in a moment.
Very, very full weekend for a lot of people.
Yeah. Phone number, maybe you just heard it a moment ago, 877-365-3636. And here's the first call of the day. Hello, John and Mike Show.
Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
Just thought you'd like to know that the free FM station here in San Francisco has crashed and burned, and right on the front page of their website, you can see that they've all moved down to AM 1550.
Well, I think we know from our time on AM 1550 in San Francisco that we might as well just open the window and try to yell at people as far as reaching an audience.
It's easier. And I believe we were aware of the demise of that free FM station last week.
Which one? No, it's the one in New York that they changed last week.
And I thought that they changed San Francisco at the same time. I thought you told me that.
I don't think we said it on the air, though.
Oh, okay.
It's fun back to classic oldies, KFRC.
I think we got us a radio file on the phone, guys.
Yeah, you do. Sorry.
Are you happy? Are you happy with the change?
Really, how would it affect us that the free FM station in San Francisco is off the air there, buddy?
He's gone. Once we identified him as a radio file, he fled.
I air-checked that, then went back to my bathroom and recreated the scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I got out my sailor hat.
My Captain Hook hat. My Captain Hook seafood hat.
I waited for Phoebe Cates to walk in.
After I had a dream about her.
As I was listening to the tape of myself on the air, Don and Mike, free FM in San Francisco's changed formats.
Hamilton, when you're wearing that uniform, show a little pride.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike! How are you guys?
We're doing great. How about you?
Oh, just excellent. I tried to pick you guys up yesterday on the radio.
How you doing, ES?
I'm doing fine.
ES, Mike,
you?
I don't
Endless talk. Summer.
Mike, I love you.
I believe that they played Focus Group Selected Best of Tape yesterday.
Oh, really? Fantastic. This is Endless Summer, dude.
The best kind.
The focus group incidentally consisted of Joe and his booger.
Oh, a lack of focus group.
He's calling us from the land of misfit toys.
That's what I thought.
Hello.
Well, I love you, Bug.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the Bug.
Love you, too. See you. See you later, I guess. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
I want the old show up and back where you guys used to announce it when it was officially starting.
Well, I wish I had wings so I can fly to the moon.
And the call screener should have taken the guy's picture because what's the worst thing that could have happened? Was the guy going to get mad at him?
Are you loaded? Are you still loaded from the weekend?
The call screener should have taken whose picture?
Alice Cooper's.
Oh, the call screener. That was, Joe was referred to as simply the call screener.
Hi, Joe!
Oh, the phone screener, right.
The phone screener.
Yeah.
So what's the problem? Son didn't get laid this weekend?
Yeah.
Are you bitter about that? I mean, you sound upset. I mean, it's, you know, the weekend's over. Time to get back to, you know, the grind.
I'm hearing sexual frustration.
I ran out of money.
Where did you run out of money?
I want to hang up now.
What do you want to hang up now? You called us.
Hello?
Don't hit me on.
What happened this weekend? How come you couldn't get laid? Take a moment, collect yourself.
Sure. You got some issues. We're here to help. Just think of us as dueling Dr. Phil's.
Did you try to get laid this weekend?
This morning.
And what happened, friend? I knew you were sexually frustrated.
Late to the party.
You are in denial.
What happened? She ran away?
What went wrong?
Did she pick the lock? did you not give her enough cough syrup? What happened, friend?
She picked the lock.
I got another phone call coming in. Gotta go.
Did she climb out of the well?
Did your hand fall asleep?
Bye!
Gotta go.
Oh, there's a lot of hit and runs. You know, they want to say their piece and then be done with us.
Boom, on and gone. Listen, I would much rather... Gosh, I got so much weekend stuff to get to. I could start with my brother. Or that's always a good place to start.
Right.
Or I've got some Asian news. Or I could just talk about my son.
You have so much... it's such a full weekend when family gathers around. Right here at all.
Had a great, great weekend with everybody. As predicted, I think during our porch setting on Friday, when I was saying, I hate people coming over and rent it and don't like. Once I get into it, I really do get into it.
You like it.
An outstanding time with my brother. More on that later, and I do mean more on that later. But I got to start today with my son. The last time I checked, 22 years old, on the dean's list, seems to have the world by the tail.
Pretty sharp.
So, Friday, Thursday, I don't know what day it was last week, the washing machine broke at our house. And, you know, we got a million things going on. We got family in and everything else. And, well, it didn't get fixed. Didn't get fixed. It's not going to get fixed until, I think, Thursday, Friday of this week.
Okay.
So.
It's not a bad turnaround time. Got to take a week to get somebody out there. That's not bad.
I mean, we didn't put a rush job on it.
Right.
He called me. I called him, whatever, he called me today. I'm coming back from the beach. He was back at the homestead. And he said, Dad, what am I going to do for clean clothes? And I said, well, I guess your options are find a laundromat. Mm-hmm. He didn't want any part of that. Or find a friend, bring the laundry to a friend's house.
Right.
And then I'm still getting a little bit of attitude, like, well, this is so inconvenient for him because,
sure,
you know,
is.
The washing machine is broken. And,
these are the hardships that we face in life.
Yeah. And then I said, well, why don't you, worst case scenario, just hand wash it? Because the dryer works, you know. Mm-hmm. Just hand wash some stuff and throw it in the dryer.
There you go.
Now, here's the point of dispute. Not even dispute. It's just the way my son argues things with me. He said to me, Dad, how do you hand wash something? And I said to him,
oh, dear.
I said, wait a minute. Are you serious? He said, yes, I've never had to wash anything before.
In his life.
In my life.
They don't teach about it.
Now, he really said.
Not even in a pinch, she's never had to throw something in the sink?
I'm not proud of this, but I guess not. He's led the life of Lord Fauntleroy. He said, and now he was goofing as we're having this conversation, but
right.
Because I was still like, hold on, you're asking me how to hand wash? He said, well, Dad, I've had machines that have washed for me my entire life. And I said, all right, well, then I'll give you the benefit of the doubt
right.
that this is the first time you've ever heard of this concept.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is go to the sink, buy the washing machine.
Why was he averse to the laundromat idea?
I'm guessing because, like everything, Mike, a trifle inconvenient.
Okay.
That's right. What I'm getting.
You get dressed, you have to hang out there, check back. It can be a pain.
Had no one thought of the dishwasher?
Don't even mention that because he'll try it.
I know. That's why
you can
it.
Do that, though.
Yeah, not in my house, Mike, please. I got enough. I got enough crap broken right now.
You wash ball caps in the dishwasher.
My fork has sock on it.
Hey, technically, you
my sock has fork on it.
Hey, if you did that,
it tastes great.
If you wash something in the dishwasher, would you use dishwashing detergent? Probably not.
I would.
You would?
I would.
Soap is soap.
Anyway, let me stay on point with this for a second, just
right,
so you guys can hear where I'm going with this. I say to him, fill up the big tub, the sink, that's next to the washer and the dryer, mm-hmm. you know, the laundry room.
The mud sink.
And get yourself, like, some, whatever we have sitting out, all or Tide, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it in there.
Snuggle.
And
oh, that's fabric softener, right?
And, you know, if you need to get yourself a sponge. And he said, wait a minute, hold on. Why don't I just get, how about Woolite? And I said, no, Woolite's for wool.
Okay? And delicate things.
And this then started the incredible spiral effect in which he's a master at deflecting and turning things around. I said to him, Bart, I cannot believe this. You're college educated. It's kind of self-explanatory. Hand washing. You wash by hand. He said, okay, I'm all right with that, but Dad, you didn't know that Woolite, you thought Woolite was for wool. I'm like, hello, this is a moot point. I have hand washed stuff in the sink. I've washed socks. I've washed underpants. Everybody has.
Yeah.
I said, it'll probably be good for you. Get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace it.
Build character.
He said, but you said to use a sponge. And I said, okay, yeah, you would use a sponge like if you had to scrub out a stain.
Mm-hmm. He said, otherwise, you could just kind of wring out the clothes.
Right. He said, well, you didn't say that originally. And I said, well, it's because originally I was explaining to you like this. Okay, if it's a pair of jeans, get them in the soapy water, then take one leg and rub the one leg against the other leg. That's hand washing, right?
Did you explain to him that while he's going on and on about the Woolite and the sponge that those clothes aren't getting any cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of a dad thing to say, I would think, you know.
Just thought it was interesting.
Did he do this? Did the Has the exercise taken place yet?
No.
No.
It's a theory.
And I said to him at the time, I said,
at the theoretical stage now.
Right, yeah. I said, you know, this is almost funny enough for me to talk about, but I love him so much. I said, I don't want to make, I'm proud of him as hell. I love him. I said, I don't make you look like a dumpy dad. And he was like, go ahead, talk about it. As long as you said the stuff about you thought woolite was for wool and using a sponge. And I said, well, I stand by the sponge and, you know, at least I knew how to handle
If you're talking about the sponge to rub out any, like, stains or something like
that.
Spots. Right. You're just using it as a device.
So there you go. It's set now. Let me make a quick call. Quick call to the disheveled mansion.
I would venture to say there are grown men who don't know how to hand wash clothes because they've lived the same blessed life that he has. They've never either always relied on machines or females.
Oh, please, hold on a second. I mean, it is pretty self-explanatory.
Right. You know, I know, you know, but I'm guessing there are
I'm sure none of us know how to do it correctly.
Yellow.
Yellow.
Hey, what's up, Pop?
Oh, do I hear the radio? Have you been listening? Have I portrayed things accurately?
No, that was the TV. I'm sorry, I haven't been listening.
Oh, all right. I was just talking about how, let me see, I think I covered it all, bud, that you were upset about the washer being broken.
No, it was, you kind of sprung that on me all at once. I thought it was going to be earlier in the week, and I had been kind of running my clothes down to the wire a little bit.
Yeah, it's quite the imposition. And like I said to you on the phone, well, a laundromat perhaps, or a friend, and you weren't really keen on those ideas.
Well, only because I explained that the friends who live near us,
yes,
that I have, are working all day today and tomorrow,
yeah,
and otherwise I'd have to drive like half an hour.
And that would be a bitch, wouldn't it?
No. So that's why I asked about the hand washing.
So just to get the part of this down that I was, because I called, I even called back Bart a couple of times, but he didn't realize that I thought it was funny. I said, seriously, like you don't know how to hand wash, and he ended up almost getting mad and saying, hey, what's so funny about it?
No. Here's the thing, I wasn't sure. And I asked you, and I knew about the woolite, and there are directions on that box. I just wasn't sure.
It gets back to woolite. Well, then why did you say to me, seriously, bud, why did you say, I don't know how to hand wash?
Because I've never done it. I didn't know where the woolite was. I didn't know if you had to use an old-time washboard or...
Minor point.
Why the...
Depends on the ground in dirt.
Maybe I would like to use the old-timey washboard.
Do you have an old-timey washboard?
Of course we don't. We live in a Jetson's house. Why would we have an old-timey washboard?
At times like these.
No, anyway. Like
the old-style ringer.
I think it would good for you to get your hands in there and hand-wash your clothes. Your undies and your socks.
Yeah, I don't really want to handle my drawers up all really close like that, but I will.
Oh, I'm proud of you. You're a very brave young man. You're very brave at 22.
Just saying I would prefer not to.
No one.
I understand. I understand. But once again, coming on the heels of
what is the probability of you? Excuse me. What is the probability of you hand washing your clothes today?
0.0.
Today it's not good. I have an outfit for today, but
he has an outfit. It's like a cabana suit.
An ensemble.
Maybe tomorrow. Yeah.
All right, bud.
I mean, if I really get slack with the clean clothes, I do have a dry clean suit I brought back up with me.
Nice.
That's my boy. He will go through every piece of clothing that
right.
he has rather than just take a half an hour, whatever, an hour, whatever it is to go to the laundromat.
No, okay, you know it. I'm not going to wear the suit.
You would in a pinch. Or no, I take it back. You wouldn't. You'd go upstairs and you'd raid my closet.
Perhaps. I take a pair of sweatpants.
All right, bud. All right, well, hand washing. Like I told you, you put it in the thing, and you put them together, and you just rub.
Yeah.
And that's
you rub the fabric together.
That's hand washing.
And rinse.
Hold on, what, Ron?
Yeah, you got to rinse.
You must rinse.
Rinse third factory. You probably got to rinse a couple of times.
On the woolite box, I got it now. You got to let it soak for about...
Well, I'm not sure woolite's what you want to use, though.
See, woolite's not going to do good on your drawers, as you said.
You want detergent for, like, jeans and underwear.
You should use the stuff that I told you.
Cold wash. It's made for that, I thought.
No, use the stuff that I told you.
No, woolite is delicate.
Yeah.
It's like a cashmere sweater that you...
Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Bart doesn't know something.
Oh,
there's something you don't know.
What?
Stop the presses. You didn't know that it's for delicate clothing.
I know this.
go get some very, very strong detergent and then go to the woods and cut yourself a laundry stick and use it to dash the clothes in the water.
You know, anywhere.
You can handle it with the stick.
Any dry cleaner would also do regular washing.
Sure.
Sure, if someone wanted to pay for that.
Exactly. It was just another suggestion.
I'm just throwing that out. If someone wanted to pay for that.
The way to go, you know, a couple of days worth of clothes, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to pay for that.
Exactly.
But now you know about hand washing.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Or washing by hand, I
should say. Are you excited about it?
Yeah, it's going to be an experience.
Yeah, it will be.
I'm going to end up doing my dad's drawers, too.
Yeah, use a whole bottle of detergent.
Good luck on that. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but...
my white T-shirts are blue.
Jan has swapped all of my underpants are now black.
Uh-oh.
I mean, black by choice, Mike.
But the eye don't see, the chef gets away with it.
Are they really all black?
Yeah. Black Calvin Klein. They're nice. They're sexy. They're damn sexy.
Oh, God.
They shape my ass.
They show nothing.
Nice. All right, buddy. Have a good day, son. I love you.
All right, bye.
I like having you around.
Right.
Right. It would kill you just to throw a little love my way, huh?
I love you too, Bob.
I know you do. You're a good man. Okay. All right. See you later. Bye-bye. You can only imagine what that house smells like. He has been in that house for 3 days. I hope the dog is okay, too.
You know, in a pinch, couldn't he just dive in to the pool with the clothes on and just sort of wrestle around a little bit.
Uncle Mike, stop giving these great ideas.
Yeah, the chlorine,
dishwasher and jumping in the pool.
Well, no, dishwasher is, you know, they make things for, like, ball caps.
Right.
So that you can put it in the dishwasher. And I know you can use dishwashing liquid for wool caps. You know, but I don't think that's the right idea.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I mean, I'm driving down the road. Hold on a second. They're on the phone. I'm driving down the road thinking, you know, I'm doing my best to raise this kid. It's just me. I'm thinking, this is what it's come to. We've come through all of these twists and turns that life has to offer, and now he doesn't know how to hand wash a pair of jeans.
Come on now.
It's the deal breaker.
Come on, boy.
Boy.
Hello, what's up? Don and Mike show.
Come on, boy. Hi, guys.
Sure, boy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, my lady.
This conversation, I had to pull my car over. I'm laughing so because my husband has the absolute most horrible underwear. And ever since we got married, I refuse to wash them unless he pre-washes them. And he actually gets in the shower with them. Takes a shower at night. He'll take his underwear in the shower. With them, wash them with the soap, and then hang them over the shower.
Oh, with the same soap you're supposed to use on your face the next day.
Why does he have to pre-wash his underwear? Is he unclean?
Unkempt?
There are times when it looks like he hit a deer.
Wow.
That's worthy of a prize.
That might be my laugh of the week right there.
That might be worthy of a prize. Well, hold on a second.
He hit a deer.
He hit a deer with his ass.
Oh, my God. That's bad. That is nasty.
Congratulations. Oh, she hung up.
Well,
okay. Go she's ahead. Gone.
She would have won.
She was surprised that she got.
Yeah. But she would have won, Mike.
She hit a deer.
Back to the scene of the accident.
She had her prize.
She stayed on the line.
Pre-washing. That's nasty.
She had only stayed on the line.
If only I'd have known.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Donnie and Miguel, I love you, my brothers.
Right. What's up? Hi.
Thank you.
Would it be fair to say a baseball reference as the TV show House? His physical condition.
Identify your sexuality, please.
Thank you very
please,
much.
Please, it is necessary for a sexual identification.
Can we guess? I'm going to guess female.
I'm going to say male.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm going to say gay male.
Are you are you gay?
No, but I'm very in touch with my feminine side.
There you go.
Gay.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Would it be fair to say that as House's condition deteriorates, that as a baseball reference, we change the name of the show to Wheelhouse?
That was really, really a bad, bad joke, and you're awful. You are. That was like a hit-and-run job.
Johnny Androgyny.
Ouch. Ouch. Go out and munch some guy's butt. Get out of here.
Keep it gay. Rob, I watched a movie over the weekend.
I know you did.
I hadn't seen that scene.
That's great.
You know that show, The Producers. They have a song in there. I had not seen it in its entirety. I finally watched the whole movie of The Producers, but that song, Keep It Gay, is just about as side-splitting as I have ever seen in a in any kind. Did they do that on Broadway, too, that one, or was that just for the movie?
No, that was Broadway.
Keep It Gay.
Keep It Gay.
Oh, God, that was funny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Just like that lady said, put on your clothes, you get in the shower, soap up, get through this, go the slip and slide, sprinkler or the pool to rinse off, you're good for two or three more days.
You know, though, there's really no reason to, you know, I know a lot of people feel for the homeless in this country. There's no real reason to live like them if you don't have to.
Right.
And what you're describing is what I'm sure a lot of homeless people do, you know, go to the public showers and, you know, at the YMCA and wash their clothes at the same time.
Uh-huh. Just a bunch of white trash.
Just make and do with what happened, bro.
Yeah, but human ways, save some for me.
Make and do.
Gotcha. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
And it all doesn't it all change perspective a little bit with the humidity that we have? With the dog days of summer already upon us.
Which is why I'd like to segue right to my next lecture topic, which is unexplained mysteries of science.
All right. I think I know where you're going with this one.
This mystery involves my beloved brother James, who you heard on the show last week with his motorcycle. Now, James used my place at the beach last week prior to coming down and spending some time with me and the family at the house. Had a very good weekend with Jimmy. Ended up he stayed much longer than we had thought, and it was at my request, because that's how much it meant to me.
It's true. And you know what his motto is? If it ain't fixed, break it.
Well, Mike, like I said, I don't think my brother broke anything. It's a coincidence of science.
Sure. Of course it is.
It's a quirk of nature.
I understand.
So anyway, he was at the beach house, and he was kind enough to tell us that one of the remote controls on a television didn't work, mm-hmm. and also kind enough to tell us that apparently there was some type of rodent problem somewhere in my beach house. Mm-hmm. We got there Sunday morning. He had been, I think he left on Wednesday. Right. So between Wednesday and now. And he was there and he said everything was fine except for the remote.
Right.
We walked in, we opened the door, and I said, wow, God. I mean, I'm all for turning off the air conditioning when you're not using it.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But Jesus Christ, it's hot in here. And as we climbed up the stairs, I got like a three-level thing.
Hotter
in there. As we got to the third level, the temperature thing, we got an outdoor-indoor thing. It says temperature outside, 87. Mm-hmm. Temperature inside, 92.
Oh.
Now, at this point, I noticed that, oh, well, now, look at that. The air conditioning is running. And it's set on 62.
Uh-oh. It was set on 62?
Set on 62.
Oh, I know what happened.
Yeah. So, right away, I...
You don't leave it at 62, do you?
No, I don't, Mike. Because, you know... Next to TV, what's most important in the summer? Air conditioning.
Uh-huh. 62, to the best of my knowledge, wouldn't that be just about as low as you can turn it down to?
If you push it really, really hard, or if an act of God happened to push that little thermostat thing all the way down, it might go to 60.
You got the slider? Is that what you have?
It's a slider there. Yeah. It's a left or right slider. Yeah.
If it's digital, it goes to 62. You're at the bottom. When you're in the low 60s, you're at the bottom. And
I'm aware. So so it was a weekend of, like the olden times, a pioneer weekend, because one of the few times it was like Bass Ackwards, where normally if you're by the shore, it's cooler and breezy and less humid.
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, it was much, much the opposite. Inside, I mean, miles away from the shore, like in the city, it was only in the 80s. At the beach, it did not rain, and it was, I don't know, 92, 93 degrees, incredible heat and humidity.
Will you entertain another unexplained question of science?
Yeah.
When Jim was in town, did he use your washer?
Yes.
Really? And it was working then?
Yes.
Huh. Mm. That is an unexplained mystery of science.
That's a good one, Rob.
I wasn't going to pile on there because other people have used the washer.
Uh-huh.
Trying to understand.
Anyway, so we get there and I had my little flip out. Right away, I said to Jen, I said, this is it. Holiday weekend ruined. She's like, why outside the beautiful, it's the beautiful beach. I said, yeah, outside the beautiful beach. It's 87 outside. It's warmer outside than it is inside.
Cooler outside than it is inside.
Yeah, I have it back.
But it's warm enough outside where you're not exactly going to get cool air coming into your house if you start to open up the windows.
Yeah, and we opened the windows, and all I got was mung air. And then we had.
Did you ever get it fixed?
Well, this was part of the thrill. And in Ocean City, Maryland, it's a part of the world they call the Eastern Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And time moves a little slower on the Eastern Shore.
Time moves slower. Time for country time lemonade.
And I know that it's a holiday weekend and everything.
Yes.
But when you call now, we went out by the air conditioning unit, and it's got the sticker there from the last time that it was serviced with the phone number, right?
Isn't that a wonderful thing that they started doing years ago? I've always patronized the people that do that, mm-hmm. that take the time to put their little stickers on when they repair something. That's the best way to do it.
And these people actually were so nice. I remember the last time they were out that the air conditioning broke like a year ago. All it was a reset button that had to be hit. So what they did was they put a big, gigantic label on the back of the unit that says, reset button.
Right.
So I went back and hit the reset button. Nothing happened.
Oh.
I go to call them. This was on Sunday mid-morning, about 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Here's the message I got.
Hello, and thank you for calling. You can never count on us, air conditioning and supply. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we are not here. If you need to reach us, please call back on Tuesday morning between 7:30 and 8:30. You may leave a brief message at the tone.
Okay. Hi, my name is
Beep
Click. So we must have called between Janet and myself this place literally 10 times, leaving little bits of messages like, hi, my name is
Beep.
Then you call back, sit through the whole,
welcome to You Can Never Rely on Us. Uh-huh. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we are not here.
Didn't decide to try another company?
We did. We went to the old phone book, and we called, I think the fifth one said, we can have somebody out today.
Wow.
And the guy came out very late in the day, very reasonable, incidentally. $135 just to look at it.
Show up. Okay. Yeah.
Because it was overtime and a holiday and stuff.
Was it frozen?
Came out, looked at it, said, yeah. It was frozen.
Yeah.
Something on it was busted.
Mm-hmm.
And it had some special kind of pipe or something that, of course, had to be ordered.
There was
no way that it...
So you couldn't just shut it off and let it thaw out?
Nope.
No, that sucks.
He said as he counted out his $135 in pennies that we gave him,
mm-hmm.
he said his recommendation would be to open the windows and buy a fan.
Ah. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, pal.
Here's your $135.
Thanks, pal.
Enjoy.
And then the other freak of science that I found at my beach house, which is coincidentally my brother had just been at,
yeah.
was... In the main TV room, for some reason, all of the lines on the TV are super squiggly, and it doesn't get a real good picture.
Huh.
And
he'd been complaining about the TV.
I'll be damned. But I'll be damned. I don't know a lot about a lot, but I do know how to unplug a cable box
yeah.
and make sure that all the wires are correct
in place.
And I did it, and... darn if once again it's just it's the craziest thing, Mike. It's just busted. So we called Comcast and they said it's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh my God!
So you know,
a little difficult to repair all these things on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. We're good. Unexplained mystery of science.
Mystery of science.
You're keeping track. This is now two televisions, a air conditioning unit, and a washing machine.
Well, no, it's just the remote control on the TV.
I count those. If your remote control doesn't work, that's part of the entertainment package.
Oh, and also last week when I got home, when he was at my house, when I got home and he was back in the pool, the first thing he told me was that the TV in the living room of my house didn't work.
Huh. So he broke that, too.
No, that was fixed. He just hit the wrong button.
That's how it happened, those calls.
Is it the wrong button? But like I said, none of this is his fault. And
you're a good brother.
I called him today and spoke with him about some of this. And, he said, we didn't touch a thing. And I said, okay.
There, he didn't touch the thermostat?
End of conversation.
Said he didn't touch it once.
At any point during the conversation, did he complain that your phone sounded funny?
No, hold on a second.
What?
You know, another of his
complaints.
Oh, no. No, here's another one that he had, really, was that he said There was something that was wrong at the beach house, and he would have called. This was like on Friday night. He would have called, except he couldn't get he could get dial tone on the phone, but he couldn't. When he pressed the buttons, it didn't make the dial. It didn't.
Rob, he did break the phone.
He couldn't get that.
Well, he's accustomed to the dial, though, isn't he? Not buttons. Yeah.
The rotary phone.
Exactly.
He's accustomed to just picking up the phone and asking for Sarah.
Anything. So, anyways. Everything is broken. Just wow. Everything right now.
So you do not have an air-conditioned place now? Still?
No. At the beach, no. They'll be out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Just
they'll
in
be,
time.
They'll be out on Wednesday.
You're here now.
I'm here.
You're not at the beach.
No, you're here.
That's right.
So they'll fix it while you're gone
there.
Well, that's why my girlfriend is there.
All right.
That's why my girlfriend is there.
Good.
Okay. And then so she... And it, was it difficult sleeping down there with the temperatures being...
The first night it was okay. The second night, now see, here's the problem, that we didn't know who had slept in what bed, because people have been in the house. There's more than one bedroom in my beach house.
And with the washing machine broken, of course, nobody can do any bedding.
Well, no,
that's back here.
That's at my house. Yeah,
oh, that's right. Right. Yes, yeah.
I hate talking about this. My many residences.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I said to her, it was last night. It was Monday night, right? Monday night.
Right.
I said, I cannot take this another night. I cannot take sleeping upstairs with being a million degrees. I'm going to go down, and I'm going to sleep in Bart's bed. And she said, oh, we haven't had time to wash the sheets on any of those beds. And I said, well, my brother and Marnie were in the other bed, and I know that there's cooties in there. And I'm trying to think the last time Bart had been at the beach, and if he had been by himself or if he had had a friend. Anyway, I climbed into his bed last night, and right away...
I kind of feel for you, because isn't the... I mean, the way I do it is if I'm staying at somebody's place, I'm taking the bedding off that I slept on, right, and I'm washing it.
Right.
I mean, that's just what you do. I'm just saying.
At a minimum, you strip the bed.
That's really what... Right. You strip the bed.
Right.
And, I mean, at the very least...
At the very least.
You leave...
I ain't saying nothing.
You leave bedding in the dryer.
That'd be nice.
Because you're done, and you wash the bed, and then you throw it in the dryer, and you split.
Well, I hadn't even thought of that. But so anyway, ended up, I went down and jumped into his bed last night.
You shouldn't be worried. It's a kid's different.
A kid is totally different.
I'm just talking about your brother.
Because I figured anything he's got, I've got.
But that's your son. That's
not
a totally different deal. I'm talking about the other bed. Was there any evidence? Had they maybe stripped the bed at all? Or?
No. It was made.
Oh, all right.
The bed was made. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. Thanks, Mike.
Maybe they did it and you didn't know it. Maybe they did the laundry.
No, we gave it the sniff test. Hold on a second. There was one more. I swear to God, I'm not piling on. I swear to God. When I was coming down here today, Janet called me up and said, has the dryer been acting up at the beach? And I said, no. But I'm sure my brother did not do any laundry when he was at the beach. Anyway. Long story short, ended up last night.
Everything's broken.
Maybe just some towels.
Last night was the only night that I left the commune bed and said, I got to go downstairs. I don't care what cooties or what scabies are crawling around in my kid's bed.
You just wanted to get some comfort.
Cool. Yeah. And before you know it, there she was right by me. So I said, ignore those things crawling up your legs.
Right.
And let's just enjoy the cool of being on the first floor.
Did you have a little breeze coming through?
First floor was fine.
I think being at the water and all.
Down there, you had some breeze at night.
We had a little weather come through yesterday, so.
It was okay. Yeah. We had nothing there. I'm praying for rain. I was out on the deck.
The whole East Coast is dry. Right. I mean, they're not getting any rain anywhere.
That's quite a bunch of coincidences, though.
Sure is.
Well, a lot of those coincidences are back in Wisconsin today.
Anyway, we got a break. I've not even told you yet about Tommy Lee. Not that I met him or anything, but the thought about it.
You thought about meeting Tommy Lee?
Thought about it, because that's the kind of guy I am, Mike. Oh. Big party weekend in Ocean City, Maryland. If Tommy Lee is going to be at the paddock, I've got to think about at least stopping by.
Tommy Lee was going to the paddock?
And as all of the airplanes flying by with the adverts on the beach said, that's right. The Tommy Lee.
Wow.
And you also said, didn't you have a story about Orientals?
That involves Tommy Lee.
Asians, Rob. Asians.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I
can tell you spent some quality time with your familia. The Orientals.
When we were at the dinner last night, I got a message from Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he was about 1 inch from just absolutely exploding. It was like, Hey, it's your old buddy Rob. I'm in the biggest backup of my life. Ooh. I'm in Easton, Maryland, and my kids are in the car with me.
What time was this? What time were you on the road?
We ran a little late. We left the Eastern Shore. We were also down there, but in Virginia, not Maryland. We left at about 3 o'clock. It took us five and a half
no
hours.
No problem.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's you're screwed.
Right.
But you're screwed anywhere from 1 o'clock till, what, 8 o'clock at night?
The weird thing is that the backup was only in the lovely hamlet called Easton.
Easton,
and
Maryland.
And you know how big city that is.
Yeah.
It took us 95 minutes to get from one side of Easton to the other.
He was very mad. He was telling me, do you know how long, because Rob knows all the landmarks. He said, it took me 90 minutes to get from the cat hospital to
the speed awareness zone to
they
the cat hospital.
They still, by any chance, have the tasty freeze there?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure they do.
I should have stopped there for 6 hours.
You should have had a six-hour McFreezy.
That was the angry message. It took me 90 minutes to get from the speed awareness zone to the cat hospital. All right, I just thought you should know.
And where the F are you? And how's your dryer?
All right, well, let's take a break. Come back much more. You also ran in the Rolling Thunder.
I had the greatest experience of my life, and I never knew what it was all about. I never knew what all the fuss was about with all the motorcycles. And man, I got a great story about it. It's fantastic, really. It was very, very cool. Other than that, stay close to home. I'm glad I didn't travel, and nothing really broke except my window.
Good. Why'd that happen?
I broke it. It's the third window I've broken since I've been in this house.
An accident or on purpose?
It's ye olde antique window. Trying to open these windows that are like fused shut, and you know how you always like pound the outside of a window,
Strong like bull. That's what that is, Mike.
Herculean strength. I don't know what's going on.
Should have been in the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Hey, that guy. I feel bad for people that bought that fight. The guy got knocked out in the first minute.
And wasn't the guy that got his claw clean? Wasn't he like the Tom Brady of Ultimate Fighting?
I mean, yeah, Chuck.
Was he like the Peyton?
Is it Liddell?
Isn't he the biggest guy? Oh, yeah. He's like a superstar of that.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't buy the fight, but somebody said he got it right on the chin and went down and inside of a minute.
Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell.
Easy. Don't ever say that to him.
Oh, no.
He's a tough guy, like all those Ultimate Fighters.
Bigger than all of us combined.
Oh, hold on. Rob wrote a joke.
I did.
When Mike was talking about his glass?
Yeah, I just couldn't have written it.
What a pain. P-A-N-E.
Oh, I get it.
That's funny.
Oh, like no, it's pun. Not.
That's a joke written by somebody who leaves to come home for the holiday weekend at 3 o'clock. I can't imagine how you hit traffic.
Huh.
You know what it was? It was the kids. They kept saying, Daddy, let's go now. And I said, I have just a few more things to do.
Time out and hand wash everybody.
Yeah.
Don't use Woolite, though.
No, you drink the Woolite while you're hand washing it.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You heard about Lindsay Lohan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Celebrities should not drive cars. Our justice system is a farce. Why can't they just take limos when they drink? Because they make like $10,000 trillion, I think.
All right, good song.
The Don and Mike Show.
Outstanding song.
God
Party Girl.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let me see. You're going to hear a lot about the whole Elizabeth Hasselbeck thing and Barbara Walters on The View. We'll play you the tape of that. They had the first show without Rao today.
Yeah. Yes, she is gone. Gone forever, but of course they're all saying she'll resurface with her own show.
She won't be back on that show, though. They said they were inviting her back. Just ridiculous. We'll hear the tapes and...
Two conversations with her a day is a hassle. Back.
We'll listen to Rosie's blog. Rosie's beautiful blog.
Rosie has got the real anus eyes. I mean, really, on that blog. It's just amazing.
Can you imagine what her bandana smells like?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, horrible. All this weekend they've been running ads. Maybe you noticed that during the Indy 500 they ran an ad saying, Rosie O'Donnell's last day on The View. Monday. So I thought, it's a holiday. You know, maybe they're going to give her one last show to get it off.
Just her without any other hosts.
Get it off her meaty chest. Well,
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
No, he doesn't, but that's right next to...
Thank you!
Thank you, Rosie. Anyway, they reran an episode from the day it was Elizabeth Hasselbeck's birthday.
Right. I didn't see that.
And then the big sign in the corner of the screen says, previously recorded.
Oh, dear.
We juiced you
so
all
you think
weekend.
They picked that one out in particular just to make it look like everybody was playing nice?
Thanks. The entire thing with Barbara Walters today was just a suck fest. She's reading from a card about how everything is great, everything is wonderful.
Who sat in the rosy position today?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Ah, now Whoopi's the quick fix.
Could someone find her eyebrows? And she contributed nothing. Well, we will get to that in a second.
Hi, Rosie.
And also we do have a good tape of Lindsay Lohan. And let's just hear this very quickly. Regis Philbin, today on his show, Regis makes a controversial statement about illegal immigrants.
Oh, dear.
Really?
Watch out.
And then when it came, well, she was one of the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came time for her to make her little announcement, the crowd booed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big crowd in Mexico City. They can't wait to get here, but they'll boo her while she's up there.
Ooh.
So,
Regis.
Yeah, right.
What's he talking about?
Mexicans.
No, what's the...
Miss
who
USA.
Is, oh, Miss,
U-
Miss Universe pageant?
Miss Universe pageant, right.
Yeah. They can't wait to hop over that fence.
Hello?
We ought to just build it higher.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hello, boys.
Hello there.
I wanted to say farewell to my lovely friend Charles Nelson Reilly, who died of pneumonia over the weekend, which we know is good for HIV.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
Had a tribute, had a beautiful tribute.
There you go. Bye-bye.
You blew it.
We'll play the tribute again later in the show in case you missed it.
You blew it.
Made it almost halfway through the song. the Barbra Streisand song.
It was touching. I thought it was
sure
a beautiful
was.
Tribute. And you did it so well with such enthusiasm.
Oh, here we go. The rest of the weekend was actually quite nice. Outside of all the things breaking and all the conveniences that I've grown accustomed to in my soft life not being there, everything else was great. We went to a place last night in Ocean City. The guy that owns it, his name is Rod. The place is Iguana Surf.
Oh.
Used to be a restaurant down by 127th Street.
Oh, Rod Stewart's place.
Rod Carew's place.
Rod Steiger's place.
Mike, I could kill you at this.
Rod Laver's place.
I could kill you at this game because last night I was playing the game with Janet because I didn't remember. You know when they, you know.
Thanks. Look around cafe.
You know. When you walk around your restaurant, people know who you are because you're the famous Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, not always, obviously, but sometimes, yeah.
But this guy, I either knew his name was Rob or Ron. Mm-hmm. I did not know that it was Rod, so when he came by the table to say hello, he came by and said, "Hey, it's so nice to see you." And he said, "Oh, this must be Lady Janet." I was like, "Yes, nice to..." And he leaves the table, and Janet says, "Well, now, why didn't you introduce me?" I said, "God, I don't know what his name is. It's Rod or Ron." So anyway, we asked the waitress, and then, of course, he came running right over 2 minutes later. And he went, "My name is Rod."
Oh.
So then I played the Rod game. I mean,
right.
Really, virtually every Rod, all the way down to A-Rod, which doesn't even count.
Yeah, really, that doesn't. So you played the game.
Yeah. We just want to give him a plug. It's a great
incidentally,
place.
For that awkward social situation, what I do in that situation, if I don't know the person's name, I will introduce them to the person that I know. For example, I would say, "You know Carla? This is Carla."
Oh, that you're expecting him to go, "Hi,
hi." And then you know what's a killer? And for anybody, if somebody does that to you, here's a little tip. They're doing that because they don't know your name. All right? So you don't go, "Hi, Carla, nice to meet you." Because that's when someone does that, it's even worse than me forgetting their name. Because there's the classic example of it, "Hey, this is Carla." And the person's supposed to go, "Oh, Carla, I'm John so-and-so."
Uh-huh.
And when they don't do that, it's just a no-win, no-win. I mean, you've made the stressful exercise even more stressful.
Well, his name is Rod, Hot Rod, Hot Rod. Uh-huh. And he used to have you'll remember me having talked about this place on the air before. We had gone there years ago, kind of a little hidden place for locals. And I had mentioned it on the air. We went in a couple months later, and on the bottom of the menu, the guy had actually printed on every single menu. I think I mentioned this, you know, thanks, Don and Mike.
Uh-huh. Oh, good. Okay.
So it's been like
that's nice. That's cool to go in a place that does that.
Guy gave us free advertising, so I like him. He's a good chef, and he's down at the west end of Ocean City now. So we went to dinner, had an outstanding dinner. On our way back home, we start seeing the signs again. Tommy Lee, the real Tommy Lee.
Wow.
I don't mind telling you.
The advertising is working on you, incidentally. I want to point that out. The advertising is working on you.
I will tell you what.
Flames.
I'll tell you what worked on me was, I don't know who makes it. It's a vodka that's espresso vodka.
Okay. It's like a coffee-flavored vodka?
Yeah, but he's every shot you had has like two shots of espresso. And one, you do not taste the vodka.
Ah.
You really do.
It's like a liqueur type thing? Coffee liqueur?
No, it's a vodka.
Yeah. But I mean, does it have a sweet flavor to it?
Tasted just like you were doing a shot of cold espresso.
Okay.
Is it made? Who's the bonder, the distributor? It's like, it's a painter's name.
Van Gogh?
No. And not Dutch Boy. Oh, I don't remember the name of it. What the hell?
Adolf Hitler was.
No, I know what you're talking. Are you talking about a vodka?
Hold on. Did you just throw Hitler in?
Adolf Hitler. He
painted
Adolf Hitler vodka. Oh, God. You're killing me, Rob.
Rob is so off his weekend. Right
Adolf Hitler vodka? I almost called you, as a matter of fact. But I knew that you were busy with your family on Sunday when I was watching the National Geographic Channel.
Yes.
And they were doing a thing about Hitler, and I watched it because it was tapes of him speaking, not like him yelling when he would yell
at his rallies,
and
stuff like that.
Oh, really?
But it was, they had taped him like in a meeting with someone,
right?
And I was just listening to his voice,
mm-hmm.
and thought, you know,
sounds a little bit like Sting.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that came from. I sound like Simon Cowell.
Yeah, of course I had a British accent.
No, he. Because it was that whole, you know, Einstein's rise, yeah, boom, that's you all. And, you know, the translation was like, you know, we will take Paris, then we will take, Einstein's
rise. Low voice, high voice.
Kind of a medium voice.
Yeah, medium voice.
Kind of a medium voice.
So you're drinking espresso vodka, and I'm trying, and I know the brand name.
Rembrandt. That's it. That was it. Rembrandt is the brand name. So I said to Jan, why don't you take the wheel? So we're driving home, and I see the sign. Right there, Paddock Nightclub. You know in Ocean City. You know. It's the party block, Mike. It's three nightclubs jammed into an office.
I've never heard of any place more...
Oh, excuse me. That was me, and I had my cough button on.
More aptly named than that bar. The Paddock.
I swear to you.
If that doesn't sound like meat, like, come on in and meet some fresh meat.
Anyway, we say, what the hell? We've seen the airplane signs.
You decide that you're going to succumb to the advertising?
I said to Jan, I said, I don't even know what Tommy Lee would possibly do besides pull out his schlong.
Are you drunk enough where you're going to drop name?
No. Oh, no. And I was not. I had had enough to drink, but I didn't feel comfortable driving.
Right.
But I had had enough to drink that I wasn't so I was like, look, stop. I said, let's just go make an appearance. It'll be good for the show. If I hadn't had a couple of drinks, I would have just driven right by.
Right.
But I thought, what the hell? So
you go into the Paddock.
I tried to go into the Paddock.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably packed.
It's like, well, we got there at 8:15, 8:30.
Horses were all in the stable.
He wasn't supposed to even go on stage until 10. I could not even get within sniffing. I mean, at one point, we're standing outside and, you know, really feeling good about yourself, standing outside. At almost 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, on a street in Ocean City, all the traffic whizzing by and people having fun getting their ice cream, playing their miniature golf, and you're standing there with a bunch of losers not even knowing if you're going to get into.
How's the demographic? Did you feel that you were maybe outside of the demographic a little bit?
It was all over the place.
Really? Okay. Yeah, he's a popular guy.
It was a bunch of goth people, and of course, you know, just the trash that always goes down to the beach. But then you had a bunch of, and then this is where the Asians come into play.
Huh.
That in line, there were a group of four. They were Japanese because I met them.
Right.
Four Japanese people, and they were doing their whole.
Speaking in their native tongue.
Yeah, just the four of them, you know. Back and forth and back and forth. Yeah. Right, Rob, thank you. They were mysterious visitors from the Orient.
There it is.
Anyway, as we were, as I was getting more and more agitated with the fact that we weren't getting anywhere, and by this time the drinks had worn off, it was almost 9 o'clock,
yeah.
And I, you know, I was using my outside voice because we were outside standing with a group of sweaty people who couldn't get into this place. I turned to Janet and I said, honey, really, that's it. I got to work tomorrow. We can't do this. And at that point, the man came up to me and said, are you Don from the Don and Mike show? I said, yes. And right away, it was like something then out of a movie.
Wow.
It was... People start getting arranged. He starts pushing people out of the way so he can take a photo of me with his family.
I thought maybe you were going to get like an inside line to get into the joint.
Right. No. And what he had was he had that big ass like photographer's camera around his neck. He could not have been more of a caricature of an Asian tourist. And except the thing that was weird. Now I do have a picture of him on Janet's cell phone. Because I wanted to document this. I got to take your picture, too.
Right.
Because you got to see these people. Really, they were doing the whole... But then when he talked, he had that Hawaii 5-0 way of... So he was like, are you Don? I'm a huge fan of the show.
And he's a Tommy Lee fan, too.
I have been coming to Ocean City for many years. This is my auntie, or whatever. You know, this is my girlfriend.
So suddenly he turns into George Takei.
And this is my brother.
How are you?
And what did he say that was the funniest? He said... You, like we, are, I'm paraphrasing, it was like, you, like we, are probably here simply for the novelty angle. And I said, yeah, why else would I be standing in line to see Tommy Lee?
Right.
What exactly is it that he does on the show? I said, I really don't know. And then, meanwhile, while I'm talking to him, you know, in the background, so I say hello to him today.
And neither one of you got to see the show, right?
No. His name is Samuel... Ng.
Samuel Ng.
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 Samuel Ng.
And, that's Vietnamese.
He is Japanese.
Japanese? Is that a Japanese name?
It is now. Either that or I screwed up all night last night. I'm pretty sure he said that they were from Japan.
I just went to school with a guy, David Ng,
right,
who was a Vietnamese guy. No, or maybe Filipino.
Because I know I did say to him, oh, that's like that financial place, ING. And he said, I was making a joke. Uh-huh. My mic's spitting out his water. You okay?
He'll be all right.
Oh, Jesus. His name is Ng. And I said, oh, like the financial.
ING, the financial joint.
No, it's spelled NG.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a nice time with the guy.
He's a very nice guy. It was nice meeting his family. As soon as Janet gets back from...
And not a chance of getting in there, right? You didn't have a chance of...
No, we turned and left, and they did as well.
Yeah.
They left as well.
Oh, that's too bad.
They got into their rickshaw. We got into our machine.
And you didn't get a chance to see the enormous Tommy Lee.
No, but I don't know what the hell he does, but they were sold out an hour in advance.
Well, he's a name down there, right? I mean, that's the big thing.
Gives boating lessons.
They like their star power down there.
They do. Beach Boys will be there, Mike.
Wow.
The Beach Boys, the Beach
Boys. The John Stamos Beach Boys?
Yeah, it's the Mike Love, John Stamos Beach Boys. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
And then don't forget in September, Wayne Newton.
Oh, there. Are you going to go?
I'm taking my mother-in-law.
Oh, fantastic.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
The vodka is Vincent van Gogh double espresso.
Ah, you know what, Buzz? I know you said Rembrandt, but she's absolutely right.
I said Van Gogh.
There's both.
Did you?
I didn't hear.
I didn't hear you say it.
You
Mike.
Pulled a Murphy on me there. You said the no before you even thought.
No.
Van Gogh.
No, sorry.
Yes.
So sorry.
Rembrandt's a toothpaste.
There's a Rembrandt vodka as well.
Yeah, there are lots of different tall blonde, you know, all that good stuff.
Wasn't Rembrandt, or isn't it still a tooth whitening teeth?
There's one, yes.
Teeth whitening toothbrush.
Yes, Rembrandt is.
Teeth whitening toothpaste.
That's right. No.
No, yeah.
And also the band that did the theme song, the theme song to Friends.
Yeah, the Rembrandt.
The Rembrandt.
But don't get him confused with that other great painter, Da Vinci, and his veneers. That's another
thing. Da Vinci veneers.
Yeah.
What is it about, like, famous? Well, it's because it's
an artist.
You paint respected. Your smile.
What's the code to that, boy?
I don't know, boy.
The Da Vinci code. I have Picasso veneers.
That's why you have eyes in the middle of your teeth.
They're all crooked. They're completely crooked.
I have Peter Max veneers.
They're Day-Glow. Fluorescent Day-Glow paint.
All right, that was my weekend. It was a good one. When we come back, we'll hear about Mike and Rolling Thunder.
Okay. Yeah, boy, it was neat.
And we've all been waiting to figure out how it is that Joe Ardinger our phone screener, managed a trip to Las Vegas where he met Alice Cooper.
I didn't even know he was going. He might have made a reference to it, but I want to hear all about it.
He snuck away
to Las Vegas.
Yeah. That's right, Mike.
Cool.
You knew, right, Buzz?
I did not know.
Wow.
Not until today.
He didn't even tell you his sponsor?
He didn't.
That's been a big secret.
Boy, when you don't tell your sponsor, that's taboo.
We'll talk. You know.
That's a big no-no.
All right, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Was it sad to be runner-up?
No, it was perfect. I picked her as the winner in the top 24. In the top 24. I said Jordan Sparks is going to win American Idol.
Why?
Why?
She's so much charisma, just amazing performer, amazing talent. She's beautiful on camera and off camera.
So when Ryan, right before he mentioned the name, you expected it to be her?
Yes. I was. To me, I'm first place at number two.
Why do you favor Rafe?
Larry.
Mike Show.
Larry.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right, right.
Is this a spoiled, pampered, narcissistic Hollywood brat or what?
Yeah.
Oh, you have hair in your special place.
You know that.
It's the BME Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
It's all right. It's okay. He's an idiot.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there, everybody. All right, let's see. Mike.
Don.
Was in Rolling Thunder this weekend.
I was. It was spectacular.
And that's where all the cycles, everybody knows this, all the motorcycles go downtown D.C.
Right. Now, I technically was not in the regular parade. I did what they call the ride of the wall, and I'm not sure all the details. All I know is the part that I participated in was just about the coolest thing I've ever done, and it was spectacular. I mean, I've only been riding motorcycles for a short period of time, and we got up at the crack of dawn on Sunday, and the whole deal was that we were going to meet at the local Harley dealership, this place called Witt Harley Davidson, where they in my hometown. And there were just motorcycles.
This place called Harley Davidson. Perhaps you've heard of it.
It Witt was the name of the place.
Okay.
And so it was, I had no idea what to expect. And that's why I rode my motorcycle in here on Friday, because I was a little nervous, just because there was going to be.
Right?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to do the regular parade. I was going to do the ride downtown, go down there, hang out for a little bit, see what it was all about. And it surprised me because I really thought that it would be a lot different than it was. And, you watch something from afar and you see the coverage of it and you don't
just a
really,
bunch of white trash.
You don't really stop it. You don't really get what it's all about.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
But we get to the this dealership and I see that there are five state police cars that are parked there, and I said, all right, well, this is going to be, we're supposed to have maybe a police escort.
Cool.
But the Virginia State Police, I got to thank them because they were so cool the way this was done, all the way from Manassas, Virginia, through D.C., all the way down to the district line, I mean, all the way into D.C. We not only were on Route 66, but the police escort didn't just escort us, they stopped people at the exits, and for the entire trip, and this is the 30-mile bike ride.
Yeah.
You had Route 66 at about 8 o'clock in the morning with nothing but motorcycles in one lane, two by two. And you could, as far as the eye could see, I couldn't see where the line ended in front of me.
Cool.
And I couldn't see in my rearview mirror where the line ended in back of me. It was amazing. And you actually had the people on the overpasses as you're going into Washington, D.C. Some would be just jammed with people, maybe waving American flags. And there was one where there was one guy in uniform, in dress uniform, saluting all the motorcycles going under. And most of the, I think this started originally as being primarily a veterans event. And it still is a veterans event. And you see all the veterans down there. And I didn't track with it. I didn't understand it until I got down there.
Right.
And you realized the people down there are doing this for incredibly patriotic reasons from a variety of political viewpoints, right. Not the least of which, you got some anti-war, you got pro-war, but it doesn't matter down there because everybody is trying to honor the memory of somebody that was down there.
And you were there with your custom I Love Rosie O'Donnell bike, right?
I was honoring Rosie O'Donnell. Even though she hasn't passed, I was honoring her memory.
Same bandana.
I get down there, and you know, I think this originally started, the Rolling Thunder was kind of a Vietnam veterans
POW
event.
MIA,
that's really was for POWs,
right.
MIAs.
Right.
And you go down there, and I forgot the name of it, but it's the row of tents that they have where they've got the food and where they're selling all the motorcycle accessories. And I've been to some motorcycle shows, but this thing was, this is the real deal. And I had the outfit on too. I didn't know, I wasn't wearing leather chaps or anything. But what I did wear, because you don't want to get hit by a bug or anything, and you want to wear like a short sleeve t-shirt, but you don't want, you know, you want to have some sort of protection on there. So I've got the traditional leather vest and, of course, no pants on.
Was it the same leather vest that you rode in on Friday?
Yeah, it's the same one I had. And
did you have the same problem that you had with that on the road?
No.
Did you say that on the air on Friday?
I don't know if I did. That it burst open as soon as I hit speed. As soon as I went up to 60 miles an hour, the wind caught the vest and it flew open behind me. No, I unzipped my little wind flaps on the side of it so that the stomach, my omentum, was not pressing up against the vest.
Your omentum.
My omentum was actually was under control.
And Rob, I think you're writing this as a joke, but I believe it's true.
What's that?
Mike's Iraqi built motorcycle.
Now you made him spit his water.
You
out.
Boys are on today. I will tell you that. Yeah, it's my Iraqi motorcycle that I have.
It's beautiful. You know,
not a joke. Fact.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, before the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, that, you know, they were motorcycle capital of the Middle East.
He made a mean bike, didn't
he? Just incredible choppers.
Iraqi chopper.
It was an Iraqi chopper.
With Saddam.
Yeah.
Imagine
that. Actually, don't give it the proper name. It's Middle East Choppers. That's really what it was called.
Didn't Saddam, like, have his boys, too? Like Paul Jr.?
Yeah, mine was specifically hand-built by Uday. Which I was happy about that one.
Usay is the artist.
Usay was, you know, he's a computer guy, but Uday got his hands dirty, you know.
Now time for Middle Eastern Chopper with Papa Saddam, Uday, and who else?
Uday and
Usay. Uday and Usay.
Every time I see your Iraqi cycle, I say, now that's a classic. That is a classic.
This, I have never seen more motorcycles. I have never seen more interesting people. I have never seen more guys that I knew, you know. No, even though they're 30 years older than me, they could kick my ass. Wow. These guys, it was just, you know, the type of people that, at one point I said to a buddy of mine, I said, you know, if you just screamed at the top of your lungs right now and you just went, "You guys are all pussies!"
No one would hear you, right?
it would be like suicide. But
no one would hear you.
They wouldn't hear me.
Well, with all the motorcycles?
Well, right. There's the nonstop drone of motorcycles. But I decided that I'd get my patches. And the cool thing about when you do the biking thing, you know, you always see these people, they have patches all over the country and all the functions they've been in. And you can go down and you can buy, like, memorial patches. I got a World War II memorial patch for my father, and I got a 9/11 memorial patch, and then I got a little Rolling Thunder patch. And you buy the patches there, and there are these women that are right there that sew them on.
Wow.
Right as you're waiting in the hot tent to get
the wenches.
Stuff. And there were every kind of, you could put every insult to every group of every ethnic group, and
you're seamstress.
They said anything on these patches. You know, they said, I should have probably collected some. Next time I do this, I'll collect some of the real bad ones. But they were incredible. And then grabbed a little bite to eat. And I've always said this, that I will say this to my daughters regarding tattoos and women.
All right,
guys, it might be a little different thing. I think there might be a little double standard as far as tattoos. But one of the things, and I know a lot of fathers say this to daughters, they said, listen, you're going to get a tattoo now, but someday that tattoo is not going to look that good. And I found the poster woman for this.
Okay.
This is a woman who had a full sleeve on one arm, a full sleeve on the other. She had like the dragon tail going down her back, and she had just two sleeves. It looked like she head to toe. And this woman, if she was 70, she was 80. She was between 70 and 80 years old.
She was 70, she was 80.
She was wearing she was wearing shorts that...
What do you do with an elderly woman?
...may have been appropriate for her back seriously in 1971. I think those shorts might have been appropriate back then.
Hot as balls.
And she, and I mean, we saw this lady from a mile away, and because everybody was trying to be low-key about it, but you were looking at her. And her her tattoos, especially around the knee area, the tattoos looked as though, you know, they folded into some grotesque little cartoon. And it was just, all I was saying that, you know, I mean, a little tattoo, look, and I know it's a double standard, and I know this will come across as sounding sexist, but you get grandpa, right? He goes to, he fights in the war, and he gets his little anchor tattoo, and by the time he's 80 years old, you know, it's this faded little thing, but you know, that's a, you know, that's when he got drunk in some, want a hump hump bar in, you know, overseas somewhere.
Right, yeah.
This bird was walking along, and she's got, it's beyond heinous. She looked like something out of a Freddy Krueger movie. It was horrible, I was fascinated. I couldn't stop staring at her, and she had shorts that were, you know, like the crotch shorts.
Sounds,
you know,
sexy.
Little
man.
Daisy Dukes. Well, it was, but the thing.
How did you say she was 70 or 80?
No, she was somewhere between, you know. But you know what? As my buddy Pete pointed out to me, you know, really, if you consider hard living, that could have very easily turned into late 50s.
Really, wow.
If it's been hard living, that has been a result of that, and you see a lot of. You see a lot of hard living. You see a lot of people that are down there that you say, man, that guy looks like he's 80 years old. And then you realize, no, he's probably like 10 years older than I am.
I saw a lot of motorcycles on the Beltway here in D.C. this weekend. Obviously, they were everywhere. They stopped traffic, not only where you were, but just everywhere.
The Virginia State Police were so cooperative for this. And on a serious note, what I will say is you realize this is a patriotic exercise, and it really, really is. And when you see the guy saluting that was on the bridge, it was just it was cool. You realize why it really was the spirit of the weekend, and it was we had a blast.
I noticed more than one person who appeared to be intimidated. You know, when you drive by and they would shut down the Beltway, the four lanes, they shut it down to one lane for cars and three lanes for the motorcycles. You drive by and you'd see the guys who've got the rigs. You know, they've been riding these things their whole freaking life.
Right, right.
Now, there would be the occasional yuppie who just went and bought himself the biggest, brand newest, shiniest candy apple red motorcycle he could find. And
tons of them for this event. You've got rookie riders because this is the reason that they went out and learned how to ride a motorcycle for Rolling Thunder. That's why they did it. It's very, very, and that's not what you want to do your first time on a bike.
We almost turned it like into the dumb license plate game when you're a kid because our traffic, the motorcycles were going about 35 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The cars were going about 15 miles an hour. So we had time to study every motorcycle as it went by, like 20 minutes worth of motorcycles, and you could catch the guy that had the brand new one.
Right.
And there was one guy that had it. It was so new. I mean, it had to be just off the showroom floor. Mm. And he had the jacket with the big, like, Easy Rider fringe on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the guy, when he drove by, it was just, he stood out like a sore thumb.
Right.
And I guess you've answered my questions that there are a lot of guys
right? Rookie riders down there. You see people that know how to ride, and you see people that don't know how to ride. And I didn't participate in the parade itself, which is about, I guess, 3 hours or 4 hours of nonstop, slow riding on your motorcycle. I did the ride to the wall that, you know, where we went into downtown, and we were going, we got up to about 60, 65 miles an hour at one point, and it was fantastic. It was really, you know, when you're surprised by an event where you
cool
say,
beans.
Hey, it's going to be neat, but it was just so cool to be a part of that. I loved it, and I'll do it again. It was great.
Hey, Donna Mike Show, hello.
I have some information on how Rolling Thunder began.
Okay.
Rolling Thunder began, the real Rolling Thunder began a long time ago, but it's technically been going on for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and it was reserved for Vietnam veterans who had received particular awards and had served at least a tour in Vietnam, and it was to honor the POWs and MIA.
Right, yeah, okay.
And I was in Fairfax, and it was phenomenal. You're right. It's the most patriotic thing in the world.
You know, there's one, thank you for that, and there's one down there they had, I guess they call them Hueys or whatever the helicopter was,
mm-hmm.
a full helicopter they brought in with a machine gun. And I didn't want to get my picture taken down there. You see people, you know, jumping behind the machine gun, and it just seemed to me not to be the appropriate thing to do.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
You know, it's like they had the whole thing set up where maybe it was for a good cause, I'm not sure, but they put the helmet on just like, let's get inside the helicopter. Come on now.
Nah, you should have taken a picture of the tattooed woman.
Oh, I should have. I wish I had my camera. I would have. But you know what? Now that I got the real patch, like I was there, you know, I did this thing, that's the whole, you realize that the whole legitimacy of like riding bikes is if you're going to wear something, you put a patch on it. It's usually to commemorate the fact that you were at a certain location.
I was there.
Like you've been to Daytona, like Bike Week or anything.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, it's just it's a very cool experience. And now that you got a couple of these things, you feel just not as legit as some of the guys. You saw some of the guys down there that literally the motorcycle's an extension of their body.
No, there's guys.
And then you see the tricycles that I'm not a big fan of the trikes. I don't like the trikes. I don't know why I don't like the trikes.
There was three types. And we picked them out. There were the Tuttles, we called them. Those are the professional guys, the guys that look like they could ride the things.
Right.
And really, there was one guy.
There are a lot of Tuttles down there.
There was one guy, seriously, that had a sound system on his motorcycle, loud as hell, and he was BlackBerrying or texting somebody while he's driving this thing with, like, one hand.
There are so many guys that are, like, confident, even waving at people, and I started waving at people that were waving from the bridges. You know, like you take your hand off that, but you just go back to it. Great. And there are guys that could just ride along with both hands off the handlebars.
So we
had handlebars.
The three types, and I guess we're correct. The first was what we called a Tuttle, someone who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, 100%. Lots of Tuttles. They were thick with Tuttles when I was down there.
Then there was what we called the O'Mara, the guy that was into it, but maybe was a little tentative around the guys with the huge ones.
Right.
And then there was the guy that we just called Johnny A-hole. And that's like the guy I said to Jan, I said, oh, my God. This guy looks like Peter Fonda in Easy Rider. Seriously. And
clean shaven, you know.
And he had on, and it was hot as hell.
And you got to be a little grungy when you're doing this. I mean, if you're not grungy, you're not you're not doing the biker.
You know that suede jacket I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the fringe.
With the Davy Crockett fringe.
Right. And even when I first started riding, I noticed these people, the people that are head to toe, that have the leather chaps all the way, you know, just head to toe in the perfect, nice, brand new leather, and you know, I don't dig that. But I do it again, and you do get the whole feel for what it is to be around here on Memorial Day. And I will never forget the you know, going under this and seeing the one guy that was in uniform, and I guess he was standing at attention for the entire time that all the bikes were going underneath him, and it was you know, very, very cool thing. Very, very cool.
Yep, one more call. We got to hit a break. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey. Hey. Did the tattoo in the middle look just like Willie Nelson?
You know, I'll tell you, the short she was wearing, you almost had a little Willie Nelson factor there. And I was eating chicken at the time, too. Yeah,
Stinky McStink Face.
Almost couldn't keep it down.
Well, hold on. Got a break.
With a younger man, too, I think.
Hear about...
Sure. She was with a Tuttle. She was with Paul Jr., I think.
How old do you think the guy with... If you... Now, hold on. Because you have...
He was in better shape than she was. That's the only thing I'm going
to
say.
You have kind of... you're going soggy on her
50
age.
To 80.
She's at least 50
she's not
80.
Nowhere near 80.
All right.
Nowhere... If she was 80, it's a miracle.
You are vacillating
on that. If it's 80,
someone.
If she was 80, then I'd give her a tremendous amount of credit.
So let's say she was in her 50s.
Yeah, late 50s.
Okay, 60s.
Maybe late to...
65.
At the tops, probably. 68. Probably 65.
How old was her man?
He looked to be about my age. Late 40s.
Uh-huh.
What the hell are you doing there?
I think you know.
I think she might have been a friend of the band, if you know what I mean.
She knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
She knew the guys in the band.
Uh-huh.
There's no doubt about it.
Do it float?
That was the high point of my weekend. Other than that, I was in bed most of the weekend. And, you know, took a little brief time to lose $50 to Danny the Korean dry cleaner. Other than that, that's the new guy that takes my money on the golf course.
Oh, a guy you played golf against.
You lose a candy.
He didn't have to have his picture taken with you, though, did
No, he
you?
Didn't. No. Too busy taking my money.
I am Sam.
Mm-hmm. He does not speak like that.
Sammy.
It's a golf.
Sammy.
That's what he'll say if like somebody hits a bad shot. It's a golf.
Oh, I know. When we come back, we got that internet thing, right, John? Yeah? Johnny?
Yes.
Yes. The reason that God invented the internet. The reason Al Gore invented the internet.
Really?
When we come back.
Oh, good.
You know, it's just a never mind.
They do.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're 2 weeks
just 2 weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tell me how.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
We are.
Is everybody happy?
I guess the question is, why do you have to be such a hump?
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there. Beware of bed bugs.
Right.
Stinky McStink Face.
Gay, 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 gay.
Hey, where's the goo?
What glorious goo?
And what about the horrors in Kansas?
In parts of Kansas, pumps are working around the clock trying to dry out flooded homes.
Thank you, Ann. And now, Chicago.
On the WLA baseline.
Come and lick the dot of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Lick it.
Come on, lick it.
Rip it.
Lick it good.
All right, why did God invent the Internet? Excuse me, why did Al Gore invent the Internet?
The Internet.
Why?
So there could be a site called MyFreeImplants.com.
Wow. These breasts?
This is, the way that this was explained to me,
you know,
is that girls that want implants go to this website, and rich, horny guys just pay for their boobs.
For women they haven't met? Unreasonable.
That's why God invented the Internet. Here is Jay Moore, who is from, not the actor, M-O-O-R-E, from MyFreeImplants.com. Hello, Jay.
How you doing there, Don and Mike?
We're doing great. Did I have that right, that it's chicks that want to have implants and guys that want to pay for them?
You got it.
It's that simple? So what, they sign up for your website and then they show their picture, and if you see a woman on the website that you feel will look just hot with implants, you can make a donation?
Yeah, you can make a donation. It works sort of like these other social networking sites like MySpace and Friendster. You sign up, create a profile, put up pictures. You can send messages, post blogs. The guys and girls interact. If guys, you know, like the particular lady, and keep in mind there's you know, about 1,500, so they have a lot of options.
You mean 1,500 women are already on your website?
That's correct, yeah, and guys can send them a message, which sends them a dollar, so they pay for message credits, or they can send them a bulk donation of whatever amount they wish.
What's the biggest amount that some schmuck has sent in for a girl who he doesn't know to get a boob job?
We've seen, you know, guys pay for the entire boob job, just not in one payment, but one gentleman has spent about $30,000 in 1 month.
Whoa!
There you go, Buzz.
Yeah.
So what does the average guy, besides getting his jollies from sending an IM or an online chat with this girl, what does he get? Let's say that, let's use the name Michael Elston, for instance.
For example.
A man named Michael Elston who wanted to spend, let's say,
for the purpose of argument,
$10,000. Mm-hmm. Would he be able to say to the woman, show me them afterwards? Send me pictures of them afterwards.
If he spent that kind of money, I I would hope. But we don't make anything in writing, at least on the website, and what's required or the individual relationship. That's all determined between the two members. So we just provide the service, really, to have these people meet up.
So if you've got a particularly nice-looking woman, she's going to be able to sign on to your website and join your website and probably do pretty well for herself because she's going to find a benefactor out there, right?
Right. She'll find probably a number of benefactors, and that's really up to how much effort she puts in on the site. It does take some time and effort on the part of the women because they have to contact all these guys, and the guys are getting contacted by all these other ladies. So it's sort of what the benefit for guys are, in addition to obviously getting pictures or getting to talk to these ladies, is that they're in high demand, whereas in like a real-world situation in like the bar or wherever you go out to try to meet women, you're chasing the women. On the website, it's really the other way around.
I'm on his site right now.
They have before and after pictures.
Ladies, have you wanted bigger breasts? Couldn't afford surgery? Here's your opportunity to earn free breast implants. Gents, help the girl of your dreams get the body of her dreams. Develop a connection with a girl and help her earn
free breast implant.
This is, man, oh, man, this is brilliant.
Interact with real girls, receive custom photos, chat with her online, and then for the girl it says, free saline implants, free silicone implants, Brazilian butt implants, gummy bear implants, free boob job.
Hey, what is how do you make your money, Jay? Do plastic surgeons advertise with you?
Not currently, because we don't force the women to see any surgeon in particular, because that's a liability on our side.
How do you make your money?
Well, we don't make money. What I want to make clear to all the members of the website and potential members is that as much as the guys are benefactors to women, so are we, because we do this completely free. We've taken no salaries. We've got the tax returns to prove it. We put in our time and effort so that we can expand the population of fake-breasted women.
That is your noble cause?
I'm looking at
it. It is. And
you're out of your mind.
Hold on, Mike.
We're better than a nonprofit. Nonprofits take salaries.
Wow.
So they can pay their owners.
On the front page, you have Morgan, Sexy Lynn, Colleen, and Kara. They all had implants. And then you have pictures of Jessica, Denise, Cherry Lips, and Samantha. These are girls that need your help. For instance, Jessica, who looks more to me like she needs a nose job than a booze job. It says $125 raised. Needs your help.
Just starting.
Cherry Lips has $1,013 raised. Needs your help. And then the success stories are like Colleen, who's standing there with her new boobs and a sign that says, "Hi, guys." And it says, $5,105 raised.
Yeah.
And what's the average? I mean, is it about, what, $5,000 to $6,000 an average?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's a lot of money for a lot of the, you know, the population to afford. So we're really bringing this from an operation that only the wealthy can have to anyone can obtain this service.
You know, some of these girls are really flat-chested. Before they got the
implant. The before and after shots are very, very impressive.
Like Kara, is that her name? C-A-R-A?
Yeah.
Kara had, my God, it says, well, what
double
was she?
Double A, I think.
Yeah, double A. Boy, she was tiny.
How do you police this, you know, from being exploited? Like, I mean, the women can just, you know, pocket the money, right?
No. That's the beautiful thing is they never see any of the funds. The money is kept by us. When they reach their goal, we pay the doctor of their choice directly.
Oh, so it's fail-safe that way.
Exactly. So they can be sure, the guy's investments can be sure, and if a woman leaves the website, he can transfer his donation to another woman.
You know, this is basically to populate the world with women with bigger boobs.
I'm looking at the before and after pictures, and they don't show anything. It's like the girls wearing bikinis and wearing bra tops. The boobs are really great, but at least with the four or five women you have here on the page, I would think they would go for facial reconstructive surgery. Because really, no matter how great the boobs are...
Well, you could probably move into that too, couldn't you, Jay?
Yeah, we've looked at other operations, other cosmetic surgeries, but guys really like boobs, and that's what we've seen they really want to donate towards at this point.
Wow.
Well, I can't... Like, for instance, Mike, come over here and look at... How do you pronounce this lady's name? Shelley? C-H-E-L-E.
Shell.
Okay.
She got nice
boobs, but ain't nothing going to fix that face. No. Look at those chihuahua eyes.
Yeah, but don't you think she looks better when she has the new
boobs?
She
got the anus eyes.
Well, boobs sure help. Boobs
better
help. No, the boobs are great.
They're riding a little high, if you ask me.
Sometimes.
The boobs are
great. Yeah, they have to settle. That's right after her surgery.
Hold on. This girl was hit with an ugly stick. She looks like the runaway bride. She's got those big eyes. That would be Lynn, although she does have...
Look at that transformation.
Beautiful tatas. That's Colleen.
That's pretty.
That's nice. How many girls total have gotten free boobs? I'm sorry if we asked you that before.
You haven't already. Actually, we're up to 21 now.
Great.
And how many women on your website?
There's about 1,500, but a lot are very close to their goal, and it takes an average of about 6 to 7 months to reach their goal.
So, say a woman's out there and she really wants a boob job. There's every possibility that, but obviously, if she's hotter, there's more of a likelihood of her getting a benefactor,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, but, that's correct.
And you know, the odds are pretty good that eventually she'll reach her goal. How long has the website been in existence?
It's been in existence since on a full wide scale since July of 2005.
Okay.
Hey, man, Jay will put a link on our website to myfreeimplants.com. And we
That'd be great.
We'll continue to look at the before and afters, and we'd like to have you on again sometime soon.
And there's no rule, but it would seem to me that if you're a benefactor that, you know, have any of these benefactors hooked up with their, you know, their individual they're sponsoring?
You know, we don't know the specifics on that, but I mean, with the, you know, locations and amount of money, I would assume, but we don't suggest that or enforce that in any way, but that's really up to the members if they meet, you know, offline.
Mm-hmm.
I may be terribly naive. But is there a broadcast-friendly way you can explain to me what a gummy bear implant is?
Yeah, please. Yeah, I'd like to know that. None of us know what that is.
It's the new safer silicone implant. They're supposed to be very safe, and they feel really natural.
Do they taste like fruit?
I would hope so. Chewy.
All right. Thank you, Jane. Nice having you on.
Could I just say one thing to your Southern California affiliates?
Sure.
We're giving away a breast augmentation.
Don't tell them we're not on in Southern California.
L.A. in Los Angeles this June. And so we're going to be giving away one completely free at that show. And I'd like to invite anyone in Southern California or even in that area to come on out.
All right. All of our listeners on KMAX, go on out there.
Would you welcome people from Northern California?
I'd welcome everyone. Your Sacramento affiliates, come on out.
All right. Very good.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, Jay.
Hey, thanks, Don, Mike.
Thank you very much.
That's interesting.
Bye-bye. Our Los Angeles affiliate.
Just a man doing some good, Don.
Public servant.
Just a man doing some good. He'll be thought of in history. History will judge him. Fairly, I hope.
Excuse me, fellas.
Gotta make a call?
Gotta make a personal call if you give me just a moment. Please.
Very good.
I want to be her benefactor.
I guess we have to wait for voicemail.
Can't imagine.
Oh, she's out there.
Hello?
Hey, Beth Ann.
Don!
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, Beth Ann.
I want to be your benefactor. I want to be your benefactor.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Hey, we just had a guy on from myfreeimplants.com.
Uh-huh.
I thought of you, BA.
I had no idea you were calling.
None of us did.
I had no idea.
Is it what I think it is?
Yes, it's a site where women go to find benefactors so that they can get boob jobs.
And like you don't have to have sex with the guy or anything. You just find the guy who pays for your implants.
And he doesn't want anything in return.
Well, right. they're kind of a little cryptic about that.
They were a little ambiguous about that, but I thought it had your name written all over it.
Well, would one of you be my benefactor?
Of course.
Oh, Mike, is that you?
Yes, of course.
I knew it.
Of course we would.
Not for all the tea in China.
If you change your party affiliation.
Uh-huh. The only catch.
All right, BA, well, I wish we had more time to chat, but, you know.
I'm sure.
Busy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, love you guys.
Busy. Got Brad Pitt on one line. And,
I know. I sucked. I get it, Don. I love
this good. Some other major celebrity on the other line. So,
I got it. Okay. Go.
We miss you, BA.
Okay, I love you guys.
Love you, too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here she is. Kelly Ripa McBride.
You caught me by surprise on that one.
Noted Republican Beth Ann Hasselbeck.
Beth Ann Hasselbeck. That's perfect.
I tell you what, Beth. Never mind. That's about Hasselbeck's boobs.
She doesn't need to go on. Hasselbeck doesn't need to go on My Free Implants.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Really, neither does Beth Ann.
True. No, of course not.
Hasselbeck is one of those women that should forever be frozen in time at 2 or 3 months pregnant.
Yes.
Wherever she is,
mm-hmm.
Just perfect.
And for whatever reason, she's enjoying the bounty because she's showing him. Even, you know, even during that horrible fight with Rosie O'Donnell and all that content, I really found myself drifting down to that cleavage.
Yeah. And can you imagine if Rosie wore an outfit like that with her dried raisins?
Oh, my God. It would be a horrible thing to see.
Thank you!
The weirdest part of
that... He looked like looking at Vic Tayback's chest.
The weirdest part of that argument is when Rosie was talking and she kept tonguing herself.
Like doing that pose?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know the one I mean.
Sure.
All right. It's myfreeimplants.com. A lot of fun. Yeah. You know, what the heck? Did he say Beth Ann would get a dollar for everyone that contributes to Beth Ann McBride?
Yes.
Right. I really think we should. Let's see if our listeners can make a concentrated effort to raise... Because, you know...
Well, Beth Ann would have to go on the site first. And you know what? You know the odds of that happening.
Sign
you
up.
Know. You know. Okay. She's not going to do that.
Can we just sign her up?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think we can. I think we will. That'd be a nice surprise for her.
Sure. Well, you know, it's fine, but she'd have to get the implant.
She was
all the money that's raised, you know. She sounded excited about it.
Sure.
Yeah. She sounded thrilled about it.
Uh-huh.
You remember her.
Vaguely.
I mean, physically, you remember her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. Well, she'll get a lot bigger tips.
Tips?
Yeah, at the club.
Got it. At the club. She's dancing. At the club.
Please welcome Miss Corduroy.
Beth Ann Hasselbeck. That's the new name. I like that.
Enough of that. We'll see that. You know, we'll hear a little bit of God, the incredible spin today on The View. Blah, blah, blah.
I have not heard any of it. It's sad that Rosie's gone. I like the controversy.
She wasn't fired. She's still our friend. She's not going to be on the show anymore. What do you want to say, Elizabeth?
Very, very sad that Rosie has left now. And in order to continue to have our supreme viewership, Elizabeth? Show us your cans.
You've got also the thing of Rosie's blog. I don't know if you heard the audio that goes along with her blog.
You ever seen her blog?
Oh.
It's not pretty.
My God. I think we mentioned that bandana before.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you're going to do something and put up something on your website that you know everybody in the media is going to be looking at, wash your hair.
And I think we figured out the man-woman relationship in there. Because Rosie's sitting there slamming back a brew. Uh-huh. Got a nice ice cold beer in the
she
other.
She looks like she's just going to come off a construction site. Yeah. Isn't she really?
And her partner there had the glass of wine, right? Uh-huh. Was that her partner who was there with her?
Yeah. Her hot lesbian partner.
Lesbian love.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I think somewhere I got an email about this, but I was late getting into town today. There's a sound clip of that Stain Mancow saying that CBS would have given him Imus's job if he hadn't done a hatchet job on Opie and Anthony.
Oh, yeah, my ass.
So that's the latest with the Mancow the Liar.
Right, yeah. Make him believe it, Mancow. Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to get to, but
Eric
I just want to warn you, when we come back, get your Kleenex ready.
All right.
We will be repeating our maybe 90-second tribute to the life and times of CNR.
I don't think I can stand it again.
Yeah.
I really don't, but what a send-off it is. What a beautiful, beautiful send-off.
Welling up already.
And appropriate the day after Memorial Day.
And I feel almost guilty. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just had Match Game on Friday.
I know.
And then over the weekend, Charles Nelson Reilly snatched from us.
A truly delightful comedian. he was.
Yeah.
You know, I almost feel bad reading his obit because it said... Charles Nelson Reilly was on the Johnny Carson show like 40 times on game shows. And the quote from him was, once you've been on a game show, no one takes you seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, hello, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the first out-of-the-closet homo on TV wearing giant ascots and talking like this and everything. No one's going to take you seriously back to Match Game 72, man. Not the fact that you're on a game show, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, I think it kept him from getting the title role in The Godfather. That's really a shame. You know?
And his stellar role in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
yeah, that's it. With Hope Lang.
That's right.
Yep.
Edward Mullen. Yeah.
He will be missed.
Yeah,
it's a shame that he got pneumonia. That's a shame. He will be missed. Safe home, Charles Nelson Reilly. Yeah.
Speaking of,
pneumonia. Mm-hmm.
With the with those little right. Dr. Evil quote things,
yeah.
Pneumonia, when you mean something else.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't help but noticing it over the weekend that Jim Nabors was under the weather.
Yeah.
Couldn't sing I Love My Home in Indiana or whatever that dumb song
whatever is. Whatever that song is, they had to do it by tape.
He was not feeling well.
And a lot of pageantry with that, for a car race. A lot of pageantry with that Indy 500. They got the Jim Nabors singing the song. Then they got the person. They got Daughtry. He's out there singing. Then they go. Who sang the anthem? Who sang the national anthem? Did anybody sing the national anthem?
As soon as I saw Jim Nabors was there, I said, "Get out of here."
Then they got another person to do the start your engines. Yeah. Then they got this. They got that. And then it rains. I mean, really, what
He's
a mess.
He's got a cold, Mike.
He's got a cold.
Jim Nabors has a cold.
Speedy recovery.
It's a crowd pleaser.
There it is.
Day, isn't it?
That's still, even though it's an oldie but goodie, that would come close to still making us laugh.
Gomer says hey. All right, Cass, we'll be back to get into this Rosie.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here is Rosie's blog.
Oh, dear.
Talking about Hasselbeck.
Okay, did you ever enjoy Elizabeth? I love you and hope to meet you. I can say this. I never tried harder to be friends with someone than I did with her from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we ended up there anywhere close.
Well, perhaps you're not very compatible.
Correct. Which is sad, because...
Yeah, it is sad.
That's right. Okay, next one, Flush. Enjoy your view. Isn't it a bit like taking your toys and going home, says Margaret? Well, no, they're not my toys there. I was really just like a foster kid for a year. I came and, you know, considered adoption, but I didn't really fit into the family. And then I was trying to the foster kid to go back home. And frankly, you came and yeah, it wasn't my toys. It was their toys.
Shut up! Hold on a second. By accident, I selected the gayest song of the world to return on a good-looking toothpick. This is absolutely the wrong song.
But
here's a song by a gay guy.
Gay.
There's nothing wrong with playing this song.
In the rain, walking hand in hand with the one I love.
I'm sorry, this is the gayest disc we have.
I love the rain.
What the hell was I going to play off this thing?
I think you made the right choice already.
On this entire disc.
Is the whole disc gay?
Well, not that it's gay, but it's like...
Oh, now there's nothing gay about that.
But you don't rejoin from a commercial set with this. Harry Olsen, everybody else, KH Trey.
Everybody's talking at me.
From Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah, but come on, we don't want to play that.
And the great John Boy.
Oh, these are on this. All these
great
are on
guest the same of this
CD.
Show.
What is this one? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
File this under G. For day!
Hello, Matt Farber.
God, this is an awful disc. Is there anything good on this disc at all?
Something macho. 99 Love Balloon. Wow.
Oh, make me want to puke.
There's
your winner. Number 12.
Right,
Rob is looking ahead. He says number 12.
All right, here we go. Macho.
What is this? This whole disc has this stuff on it? We've got about 300...
Winchester Cathedral.
We have about 300 discs of songs.
There must be something that's got a little punch to it. There must be.
They're done in Rob's style of
organization.
Putting stuff in alphabetical order.
Right.
Not by song title,
right.
And not by the artist's last name,
no.
But by the artist's first name.
Right.
Which is why you have Neil Diamond, Neil Diamond, Neil Diamond, Neil Diamond, Neil
uh-huh.
Diamond, Neil Diamond. Neil Sedaka, Neil Sedaka, Neil Sedaka.
Right.
Nana.
Why do you organize that way?
New order, new radicals, new vaudeville band, New York City.
The industry standard.
It is.
The right way.
How iTunes does it.
Let me see if I like this one or not.
Better.
This is all right. Sounds of the City.
Yeah, but if we hadn't been playing all these pussy songs... Oh, hold on a second. Here we go. All right.
You got a good one there?
Oh, I think so.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's a pussy Nirvana song. Where's the one that smells like cheerleaders?
The Don and Mike Show.
It's played too much.
Excuse me.
Do we have lithium?
I need some.
Joe has. I mean, the song.
The song. I didn't know you were talking
about.
We'll
go with that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I can deal with this. Okay.
Simply Cow Teats.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sorry to ruin the beginning of the Charles Nelson Reilly tribute with the musical interlude.
Do you have that standing by? I've been looking forward to it through the entire commercial break.
Got it right here, Mike. Let me just clear some machines out.
CNR.
Charles Nelson Reilly died over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. He will be missed.
Age of 76.
Safe home, Charles Nelson Reilly.
And Get ready to cry. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm always ready to cry.
Gay, 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 gay.
Now, you didn't do that the first time around. You didn't do that. You've ruined it already. That is not the tribute you gave us before.
I am simply trying
you're,
to make
you're
it.
You're deep into the show. You know make, we've got more listeners right now, and you've just ruined it.
Make it new for these listeners. Okay.
How could you?
Slut, skank, whore. Geez.
This is not the tribute to CNR.
Okay, hold on.
It was simply Barbara singing and clips from the Match Game.
I will have to get some lubricant,
now,
too.
No, that's not right.
Not acceptable.
That's not acceptable.
We're going to take a shower, both of us.
I'd like to really point out that earlier in the broadcast...
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
There was a wonderful, beautiful, moving, touching
you go
tribute.
Naked in bed when I see you Sunday.
Without Chris Hansen and the Dateline tape.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
What does this have to do with Barbara Streisand?
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
That's
I'm Chris Hansen
right.
with Dateline NBC.
Not fair.
I like rape.
No!
All right,
I'm ready now.
You're not taking it seriously.
You're not.
I'm sorry.
Not the spirit that it's no, that was given
right.
before.
All right, here it is.
Charles. Couldn't we get her own show? And I said very similar to Williams, but in the left one, she recently had a shot, so it's bun.
It's like a puzzle.
But what is the answer to the puzzle?
Was it in the first one?
And this is a big butt.
Memories.
Charles. Well, you know, usually on the nighttime show, I let it go for about, I think it's 10 or 11 minutes. And then just for a change of pace, I come up with a match.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ah, what glorious goo.
That is not what
you
I'm talking about.
A boring answer. Paint your head.
Paint your head.
Paint your head. Karen, you got to match your dreams.
Shut up, Brett. Tribute to Charles Nelson Reilly.
A personal friend of Dorothy Hamill, I really adore, and I chose Ice.
Oh.
Yeah, another man, Charles.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
No, that's not right.
Oh, Charles, can it be so simple?
Hope you find your super match, Charles.
Suck on that, losers. I'm a personal friend of Dorothy Hamill. I said wedding.
Rolling pin.
A rolling pin.
Thank you.
Charles?
Why is my collar voice going up?
Because
I said
the
mouth.
Could we?
Do it float?
Well,
not that
doesn't
make any sense.
No.
What do you say, Chuck?
Crow's feet have crow's feet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-mm. I have a lot in common with him because I'm very into athletics, too.
Yes,
I'll
bet you are.
That's why I wear the shirt on backwards because the number could not be seen by the audience. You
right.
See, so I wouldn't show favoritism.
Right. So funny.
I thought he sucked.
Carla! The correct answer is scuba diving school.
Gay, 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 gay.
Oh, stop it.
Don't never, ever trust whiting.
What?
That's so gay.
A word which comes from General Hooker in the Revolutionary War.
Right.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Safe home, CNR.
Oh, no.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
That was very nice. You know, I'm going to go even a step further. Nicer than the one you did earlier in the show.
Thank you, Mike.
Very, very nice. And I love the freeze frame of his face right at the end there, right as Barbara was drifting off. You know, drifting off to dreamland.
We're going to have to stop there.
All right, Charles.
Then she was revived and blushed again.
And
hi there. This is about Charles O'Reilly.
I don't even know what a swinger is, so I can't explain it.
First of all, Hooker was named after General Hooker. I'll explain all that after the program. It's true. It's named after General Hooker.
Elvis between the pages.
Home Alone and Interested in Sex.
Swinger is, but 30 years ago they were called, and I hope it's not hyphenated, a pushover.
A pushover. No
wow. Charles Nelson Reilly.
What the hell is that?
Tony Award winning. Charles Nelson.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
The whole top tier.
The whole top tier says
goes what? Going completely out of hand now. What has happened to the tribute?
Okay, since my card is blue, I said you're the father of a baby boy.
A baby boy.
Charles. Well, I'd like to agree with everyone, but I know Sarah very well. And what misses on the bazoom goes on the toes.
On her toes.
Good CNR.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
He loves that. Okay. Anyway, so
that's beautiful.
We sure will miss him.
Yeah, we will.
Mm-hmm.
They will. Giant talent. Match Game was never the same when he wasn't on.
I agree.
Bye-bye. All right, we heard the Lindsay Lohan tape. We'll play that again. Here's Lindsay Lohan, who was busted over the weekend, DUI, with some more coke. Here's the spokesperson.
Officers tracked Miss Lohan to the local hospital, where she was ultimately placed under arrest for 23-152 ABC, driving under the influence. It was a usable amount of illegal narcotics that was preliminarily identified as cocaine.
You have to refer to her the way all the cool people do on the gossip sheets on the internet.
How's that?
Lilo.
Oh, is it Lilo now?
Yeah.
Lilo.
And of course, now cementing her.
Of course. Lilo.
The celebrities should not drive cars. Our justice system is a farce. Why can't they just take limos when they drink? Because they make like $10,000 trillion, I think.
Okay. And I think what we were going to mention at the beginning of this segment, we started with Rosie's blog.
Yeah.
Here is some of the pablum that they were spewing out today. Here's Barbara Walters on The View. Excuse me.
This is the first day without Rosie.
Right. She's reading off cards. Here we go.
It's been quite a week, as all of you know, and it's a week that that makes us in many ways very sad. There was a little contretemps on the air. I think the Iraq war brings out a lot of very hot feelings, and we had our own hot feelings.
What do you do with an elderly woman?
Wednesday, Thursday, when we thought we'd come back and be able to talk about it, the president must have heard what happened on Wednesday, and we were preempted.
Yeah.
So we weren't on, and the other 2 days we've been on tape. But I have a couple of things to say, because as most of you who have not been under a rock know, that Rosie O'Donnell is not coming back to finish the last 3 weeks on the show. And
what?
No!
Huh?
Duh!
What?
What about the vagina?
Where'd she go?
She was supposed to be. This makes us very sad. Rosie and I have been emailing each other all weekend with the most affectionate notes, because we are very close friends, and as I said last week,
wait a minute.
My admiration for
right. I mean,
hold on a second.
Everybody's crap detector go on. And
yeah,
love. We're close friends. That's why I've told her never to get her fat ass on this stage again.
And incidentally, emailing each other all weekend. Give me a count on that. Mm-hmm. All right, give me a real count on the number of emails that have gone between you two.
My affection for her, Rosie. If you're watching, nothing will change that. I'd like to make it very clear, and then we'll go on with our hot topics, that Rosie was never fired.
Oh, now, this is where she kind of throws her under the bus a little bit. She said she wasn't fired,
right,
that her representatives wanted more,
mm-hmm,
meaning she wanted more money. And Barbara Walters is trying to say the whole thing is about money.
Hmm.
Fired, and there was no desire to have her leave the show. We wanted to have her stay. In the beginning, it was her decision.
Incidentally, Barbara Walters, if you really want, you know, Barbara Walters' impressions have been around for, you know, 100 years.
Right.
But if you ever want to know the key to the Barbara Walters impersonation is her.
She cannot pronounce H-E-R. And you hear that several times. She uses it a lot here.
One of the things about his...
Leave the show because her representative and ABC could not come to terms on her contract. It was her decision not to come back. We hoped that she would have next year as long as she wanted to. And then again, this time, it was Rosie's decision not to return for the other 3 years. She has said on the blog that she was upset by a split screen, which is a device that shows two people together. We used it several times. Last week.
Exacerbated
by a very hot discussion that usually takes place off camera and took place on camera. But, you know, it is a view. We do have different opinions. We will always be grateful to Rosie for her contribution.
I would have paid $1 million to the charity of anyone's choice if they would have hooked her up to a lie detector and had her read the same statement today on TV. I love Rosie. She's my good friend. If you're watching, we love you. We miss you. We want you to come back.
There seems to be a palpable sense of, you know, our heyday may have passed now. Because really, with the departure of Rosie,
the
highly rated supercharged.
They kind of addressed it at the end.
This year, she's welcome to come back anytime she wants, and we hope that it will be often. And the view will go on.
Here we go, Mike.
There will be new people added to our panel, and we've been a hot show for 10 years, and we're going to be a hot show for many years.
Sounds like it, you old bag. Keep talking about menopause.
Yeah, her.
Rosie's her.
And I read on a TV gossip website that one of the names being thrown out is a woman who used to live in the Fox 5 Sky Fox.
Oh.
Do you remember way back when I picked out Amy Roadblock?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I thought she was rumored to be coming to the Today Show and replacing Meredith Vieira. I thought that's what they were talking about.
They're not replacing Meredith Vieira.
Well, that's what the rumor mongers are saying. I read today.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I don't know where I read it, but
the story is really that I lost my place here. No, that she's going to take the other job, or that they're going to offer her the other job, the Rosie job.
Oh, really?
Why would they fire Meredith Vieira?
I don't know. I was just reading. Maybe I read it wrong. I just read Meredith Vieira, and that's
a... No, it was probably... there is a lot of stuff out there that Meredith Vieira... Matt Lauer has given her like 8 million chances every day when they play these tapes on the Today Show.
Right.
Say, hey, what do you think about it? What do you think about it? What do you think about it? And Meredith Vieira has become pretty famous for saying, I don't want to say anything.
Right.
You know, they were my friends.
Yeah, well, I read this on his site, so who knows how screwed up. Rupert's site, so who knows where that, you know.
I read, it wasn't on Rupert's site. It was on, who cares? It's the internet.
Right.
It's as valid where I read it as you read it. It's all crap anyway. All I know is that there was this chick with no discernible talent, but just beautiful.
Well, gorgeous.
Who was in the Fox 5 helicopter. And for the longest time, I just wanted to come back recreated as that seat in that helicopter.
She was, smoking hot.
Yeah, we could.
Where has she been languishing?
She's been at MSNBC.
That's right.
She's been a third or second level person on Today.
Right. That's it.
They got like 8 million models now on the Today Show. They've got that girl with the big Shriver jaw.
Yeah, they've got Campbell Brown.
Campbell Brown.
I haven't seen her in a amazing amount of time. Is she still around?
Hey, Campbell, lose a little weight.
Then they've got Natalie Morales.
That's the one with the Skeletor jaw.
She's the frigid one, too. She's not there. And then they've got the sexy one that comes out of L.A.
The West Coast correspondent.
The one who dresses sexy, looks sexy. She's very good.
And then there is a woman, a big fat woman that does the weekend news.
David Gregory.
Absolutely.
They're deep. They got a bench. They got a bench over there at the Today Show.
Anyway, we spotted that Amy Robach a long time ago.
She's done very well for herself, and I think you will see her going on to bigger and better things.
Really, I think Elizabeth Hasselbeck makes her look smart, though. So,
really? Well, you never can tell when they're just reading the news. You never can tell until they get on that show and see what happens.
Here's Rosie's blog reply today. Okay, so this is Rosie's reply to what they said on TV today about her.
Fresh.
Babwa, Babwa Joy and the other one said bye-bye this morning on The View. Barbara still loves me, wants me to come back. Okay. said that split screen that pushed me over the edge was used before.
Uh-huh.
Really? When? Called Slugfest between me and E. That must be Elizabeth.
E.
A little contempt.
Contretemps.
Yeah. Contretemps. I'm sorry, Buzz. Contretemps. Yes.
What is contretemps?
Well, here it is.
Fight of
fancy
that.
Euphemism for I kick some hassle butt.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of E. Beth, she said we were on the road to reconciliation. We exchanged messages, but no apology, still on air. Whoopi chilled and said she was grooving, but all view and no row make morning TV very dull watching.
That's what Rosie said?
Wow. Peace out. That's on her blog this afternoon.
What an ass.
Yeah.
Right. Come on, let it go. I mean, if you're gone, you're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that, it gone. Seems to me to snipe at them after you have really kind of wimped out and left. That's not fair.
Be
That's not fair at all.
Unless you guys are E-Beth, though.
E-Beth.
Where's E-Beth?
And I guess between the lines, well, not between the lines, it's very direct. She's wanting from Elizabeth Hasselbeck an on-air apology. Did she give an on-air apology?
No, like, what's Elizabeth Hasselbeck going to say? I'm sorry you're ugly?
I mean, what the hell does that, I mean, really, I mean, agree or disagree with Elizabeth Hasselbeck's politics, what does she have to apologize for?
Well, she'd have to apologize for having an opinion, I guess.
Wow.
A contretemps is an inopportune and embarrassing occurrence. So it's really not a fight, it's just something unfortunate for the program.
But this, you know, even describing it as that is not accurate because it was great for the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand.
A dust up.
Barbara likes
a dust up. That's better.
A Brannigan.
Yeah.
Barbara likes saying contretemps.
Contretemps.
A Brannigan?
A Brannigan.
Like a bar fight.
I've never heard of that.
I've heard Laura Brannigan.
No, a Brannigan is very popular.
Mulligan. Gloria, right?
Yeah.
Gloria.
Gloria.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, no, no, I'm looking for something and I don't know what it is. I should probably just press a button. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, so just to follow up, here's what Elizabeth Hasselbeck said after Barbara Walters said what she had to say about Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, you know, it has been a panel where we've been able to just kind of shed any facade. You know, we come with our full passionate selves every day, and I love being able to do that. And Rosie and I have had incredible discussions, as have all of we, all year. And this weekend we were in communication a lot. And, yeah, we were. You know, I think this weekend gave us the opportunity to tackle the most important hot topic yet.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
On that process, and so now that enables us
shut up.
In a very positive way. So I'm really happy about that.
Every one of the women who have come and gone from The View.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed in this house.
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
Can I give me a C?
What do you say, Charles?
Hold on.
What are we doing here?
That was CNR.
Yeah, Charles Nelson Reilly made his way in there.
Mike, too many things are happening. Too many people are croaking. Too many people are getting fired today.
And I don't think Joy Behar cares enough.
Too many tributes. Oh, here's the man to identify the show.
Experts at doing the toilet facility.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You are clearly unstable.
Okay, let's see. We never heard from Joe about his meeting with at Las Vegas, not AC, with Alice Cooper. We'll hear that tomorrow.
Very good.
I just found out. Hi, Buzz, your mic's
Hi.
On.
Hi.
I had the wrong microphone on. I found the item you were talking about, Mike, about Vieira.
Yeah.
It's from page 6 of the New York Post. And it's
just... Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's total BS. I think everybody who reads the papers knows that for the last couple of years, even when Katie Couric...
That's so gay.
...was on the Today Show, Good Morning America has been cutting into their ratings.
Right. Right.
So the item, the blind item today on page 6 says... The View isn't rosy for Meredith Vieira. The Today Show's ratings are down to a 13-year low.
I didn't know that.
Good Morning America trails by 300,000 viewers.
Wow.
Then it goes blah, 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 blah. We hear the front runner to replace Rosie O'Donnell is comic Kathy Griffin.
That doesn't surprise me.
And if Vieira stumbles further, look to any Robach to take her place.
Oh, wow.
That's a blind gossip item. That
yeah, and that's somebody making it up. I mean, they don't know. They don't know for sure.
You don't get rid of Meredith Vieira after all the dough you spent to put her in Katie Couric's chair to get rid of someone even as wonderful as her seat may smell with Amy Roadblock.
And you want to get the ratings back up at the Today Show, you put Willard back in a dress. that'll do it. More Willard. Willard can save those ratings. You know?
I disagree, Mike. More Roker.
Mm-hmm. How about Willard and Roker?
Both. How about just them and that's it? Yeah.
How about just them?
Shirtless.
Skins and shirts. I was going to suggest the whole thing every other day.
How do you decide?
You know, which, well, that's what you tune in to find out. Who's wearing this, you know, who's Skins today? Today it's Willard.
And are they playing a game?
Oh, they could be. You know, it's summertime. You could, out on the plaza, Rockefeller Plaza, you set up a little beach volleyball.
Anyway, that is what you say, Super Soaker?
Yeah. It's
not full of water either.
No,
just give Willard a really thin t-shirt.
Actually, Willard's nickname is the Super Soaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had that kind of prowess.
Yeah, he does.
Really?
Big Willie Scott.
I should have asked him about that at the Strawberry Festival.
That's why I called him the Joy Boy.
The Joy Boy. Willard Scott, Super Soaker.
Anyway, there are so many goddamn internet gossip sites and gossip columns and the newspaper and stuff.
Yeah.
What you read was in the newspaper. What I read was in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it all seems to be crap. Here is something that was crap from last week. We can give you some definite closure on.
Okay.
About the Fantastic Four quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have people coming up to you this weekend like I did about the Silver Surfer quarters?
No.
I had more than one. Well, maybe it's the crowd of people that we travel with.
Yeah, but, you know, I push people away.
Well, so do I. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're going to get a pissing contest.
But I would think that, you know, people would, because it's kind of that comic book thing, they'd approach you before they'd approach me.
I met a lot of people out in Ocean City over the weekend, and more than a couple people said, hey, dude, you know, you guys were so wrong about that thing with the Silver Surfer, either saying that the coin is valid.
Did we not agree that it's it is currency, right?
I even had people, coming up to me and saying, they sell you the quarter and it's got a sticker on the back of it, and, like, you can only use it in a Coca-Cola machine. You couldn't, like, use it at a grocery store. They wouldn't take it from you at a grocery store.
I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't either. Do we have
the definitive word on it?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
The U.S. government had nothing to do with the Silver Surfer quarters.
Right.
And they are not happy about it. They're not happy about the fact that idiots like us are talking about it, not us specifically, but
that it's legal tender.
People in general are talking about it, because the story is totally wrong. The quarters were made, as we found out Friday, by the Franklin Mint for Fox, the TV and movie company.
Right.
Both of those companies now, the Franklin Mint and Fox, have been advised that they may have broken the law by turning U.S. currency into an advertising vehicle. The crime is punishable by a fine. In all, there are 40,000 Silver Surfer quarters that were put into circulation yesterday.
So they're out there. So they're not legal tender. That's definitive, then.
That is, and not only are they not legal tender, the government, the real mint, wants them back.
You know what I'm curious about?
What?
I'm curious.
One way of testing them? Would they work in an Atlantic City slot machine?
That'd be a good test.
I bet they would. Well, based on what someone said to me, on the boardwalk.
Well, there you go. So you felt strongly about it.
They have some kind of a sticker, like I mentioned, on the back side of the quarter.
But other than that, the balance and the components and the metal are like all similar?
Like a perfect slug.
Wouldn't you think that the Franklin Mint and Fox would perhaps have maybe gotten their act together on this before printing up or minting all these new coins?
You mean and government approval first?
And I would think so.
And the U.S. Mint also says that they would like the quarters back. That they don't want them out there.
You know, and when I think about it, you have collectibles, and they do that. You have collectible coins. But I've never heard anything about, you know, other than stuff that comes from the U.S. government, you know, a la the Susan B. Anthony dollar. I've never heard anything like this where they're going to put it into a regular tender.
And I take it back. It's not 400,000. It's 40,000.
40,000 coins.
Of these quarters that are out. And what the Franklin Mint now is doing is saying, if you get one, go online, and if you give it back to them, you could win stuff like movie tickets.
So now they want them out of circulation.
Well, sure, because the Mint called them today and said, hey, you're doing something illegal.
We're getting charges. To me, though, I mean, just thinking like, you hold on to that.
Mm-hmm. Sign on to eBay in about 2 days and see where they're at.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to go through the roof.
What I've seen Franklin Mint do in, like, the Parade magazine is they'll take, like, a gold dollar or whatever a U.S. coin is and then, like, somehow get coloration on it to make it look like the Twin Towers or something.
Mm-hmm.
So underneath, it's still the coin, but they've painted it somehow.
Right.
So would that be illegal?
Hold on, there's more of that. Bravo got so much material on this. They alter the quarters, so a colorized version of the Silver Surfer appears on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That's part of the problem as well.
Yeah, because they're not supposed to be colorized.
They may not be legal tender, but I'll bet you can spend them. I mean, we know they'll work in vending machines, and I'll bet if you spent them at the store, they would take.
Oh, I know I could spend it at the Shell station down the street. The Shell / Subway. Jesus,
you
could the worst.
Walk in with a bag of rocks and get yourself a 6-inch sub.
Yeah, you could trade beaver pelts over there for what they, you know, the way they work and the speed that they work at in there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I win again.
Oh, is it this guy?
Yes, it is.
This is Nerd. This is Coin Boy.
Hi!
We're so
He's
glad
already gone.
You called back.
He is already gone.
I would not give him a victory at all.
No.
Two other things, and then we'll get right to Buzz with the news. Oh, hey, Mr. Drysdale.
Hello, Don. I'm over here at the Mint, the Franklin Mint.
Yeah, I see fish.
Putting the finishing touches on these fabulous Silver Surfer quarters.
Hello.
Who are you? Oh, you're Scott Shannon.
And you are?
I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
I would give you a groaner right now. I don't have one off the top of my head, but I'm sure if Rob was to write one, it would have something to do with Pirates of the Caribbean. And the punchline would be something involving
I don't have a groaner, but I've got a huge satchel filled with Silver Surfer quarters. Don't spend them all in one place, Ms. Hathaway.
Just ahead of Buzz, two other things over the weekend that caught my eye. First was a rumor that the great Steven Tyler, is quitting Aerosmith.
Heard that. Wow.
And I read this. The quote was attributed to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think that that's true. That's too bad. I hope.
Live.
I hope it's not that Joe Perry went on with Sangina, and that's what pushed him over the edge.
That would be interesting if that's what caused it.
Hold on a second. The coins are already on eBay.
Sure.
And they are up to $103, the bids.
There we go. And that's what they're shooting for.
And maybe you're one of the many Van Halen fans like myself. If you're in the Van Halen fan club, and I have been for a long time.
Figuratively.
No, I mean.
You don't have like a decoder ring or anything.
No, but I get like emails and junk.
Okay.
It's like a way for them to repackage their albums and stuff.
Right. Well, you met them in backstage with your kid and everything.
I've liked Van Halen a long time. Everybody has. I got the following email, pretty funny, from VanHalen.com over the weekend. And it's real, it's hilarious because it says to, and it has my name, to Don.
Uh-huh.
And on the subject line, it said, a message from Eddie Van Halen.
Ah.
So it says, it says the following. I want to say thank you to all the Van Halen fans for all of your emails when I was in rehab. It was a personal thing I'm not comfortable about talking with right now,
mm-hmm.
but I want everyone to know your support means the world to me. And then it has space where they have enough space to put in the name Michelangelo. Like, they've got enough space for 14 letters.
Right.
And they just put Don in that gigantic space. Don.
Thank you.
Space. I am truly grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Van Halen.
Well, it's Eddie's getting his act together enough where he's getting his people to send these things out. That's not bad. And you've seen the pictures, right? The before and after pictures.
We've had them on the website, right?
Pretty amazing the way Eddie looked coming out of rehab. It looked like it did him some good.
And very soon be on the lookout for Van Halen quarters.
Yeah. You know what's amazing, though, is Eddie is getting himself together, and I think he's going to look perfect just about the same time that Valerie Bertinelli loses all her weight on Weight Watchers. Have you seen those commercials now?
Yeah.
Where, you know, they could not be any more jive. But Valerie Bertinelli, the weight is falling off her, and she is a former terrific POA.
Obviously a very expensive ad campaign, because
yes.
it's on all the time. How come they can't get her and Kirstie Alley in the same studio?
I will tell you why. I was watching Extra over the weekend, and they had a great
show.
They had, shut up. They had a great, I know it's a piece of crap, but it's on TV.
Uh-huh.
Besides, they had a great interview. It was in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay.
They had a guy who was the manager of a Taco Bell saying that he had caught Kirstie Alley coming into Taco Bell and having like, God. he was quite specific.
How many tacos?
No, three. What are the
chalupas?
Stuffed chalupas.
Right.
Three of those.
Wow.
Two soft tacos and nachos Bel Grande, and then she took cinnamon twists home with her.
You look at the ads, and she says, I lost, 70 pounds on Weight Watchers? And I really think that they're, you know, it's not lost on her that they're making that transition to Valerie Bertinelli, who seems to be losing a lot of weight very fast.
Well, they had the guy, like I said, the guy was from the manager of the Taco Bell, who was saying, yeah, she was here, and that people, as she was sitting in the corner, were saying to her, you shouldn't be eating that.
Oh, no.
Leave me alone.
Can't go to Canada.
Why doesn't she just use the drive-thru?
Leave me alone. I'm very comfortable eating at the table. I want a cinnamon twist, too. Oh, chocolate cake. Would you like to see my Willie Nelson? My Weight Watchers Willie Nelson.
Do it float?
They sure do, especially after a trip to Taco Bell.
All right, then we'll see you
down. Hi, everybody. This is the news.
News. Yeah. News is next.
Yeah.
Chocolate cake.
News is next. I'll tell you what the news is.
What? What's the news?
Tomorrow's Wednesday, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It feels like it's going to be Tuesday.
Wow.
Super duper.
Wow.
Super terrific happy. All right, news is coming up with Charlie Elston. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Like foul-mouthed bobblehead doll, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let me see. I'm on Rosie O'Donnell's blog right now.
Baby.
Hot as balls. I mean, we've commented on the bandana.
Yeah.
But also the big bags under her eyes.
Anus eyes.
Big, fat piece of crap. At least take a bath before you're going to go and put your video on the internet.
Uh-huh. And she was sucking down some brewskis, too.
Couple of things that I noted real fast. I think this is mentioned, her whole comment, I was a foster kid for a year.
Right.
I didn't fit into the family. Time for the foster kid to go back home. Rosie's adopted a bunch of kids, and I'm adopted. Mm-hmm. I think anyone would tell you, if you want to get semantics, that's not how it works. You don't get a kid and then decide, you know what, it's really not going to work out with you, so we're going to send you back.
And doesn't it fall squarely into the taking yourself too seriously category? I mean, that's the whole thing. What are you saying?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it does happen in foster homes. Kids come and go, and I think that's what she was referring to.
Oh, well, thanks for being an apologist for her, bud.
I'm not.
How about the mustache? How about the mustache that was drawn on the photo of Elizabeth Hasselbeck?
Does she comment on that?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
She says that the mustache left on the photo of Elizabeth Hasselbeck was the work of her chief writer, Jeanette Barber. And Rosie says, it's a joke on the way out.
You know, this all points to, and here's the frustrating thing.
Because the story is that on her way out of the building, they had those giant publicity pictures. They drew a mustache on Hasselbeck's picture.
The frustrating thing about this is, you know, I can understand where Rosie's coming from politically with some of her commentary. But the fact is, all of this stuff with her right now is pointing to underdeveloped emotional behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, she really is behaving like a middle school kid. And that, I mean, she's the one that decided to leave, which I don't think she should have done. Mm-hmm. And now
but
she's
no.
the one that's taking...
I want to see you!
Speaking of underdeveloped...
You're weird!
You are too, Rosie. And you're not acting like an adult.
Yeah, because he has a green card. He's cute.
What does that have to do with what I'm talking about? I don't know.
That seems delicious.
Who's delicious? I was talking about your show.
I love you. I have to go. I have to go catch a bus.
Oh, you're ignoring me now, and that's starting to make me
angry.
No. Yes.
My dad's taking me to Super Save.
What are you doing? I don't understand, Rosie.
Would you like a cookie? Chocolate flavor. Very nutritious.
Would you like to use your indoor voice, please?
Yeah, I have something to show you.
What? What are you going to show me?
Oh, my goodness.
Quiet, please. Just
thanks. Excellent.
What's excellent?
Yeah.
What? Why are you...
Oh, it's boring clothes. What, am I scaring you?
I'm trying to have a discussion with you, Rosie. You're not making any sense to me.
Be realistic, Rick.
Why do you scream? I don't understand that.
You're the hippopotamus!
You're the hippopotamus, and don't yell!
All right, so she's gone.
You know, there was also a mustache on the picture of Joy Behar, but it was part of the picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
I don't know which is funnier. When you do the liner, he dismisses you like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Please step to the back of the room.
Deaf, dumb, and blind people knew he was stepping up with the okay, Behar's big mustache. Got you, Ralph. Thank you.
Oh, man, I wish I wasn't down to one lung.
Not that the boy doesn't have his funny moments.
Right. Yes, he does.
I had an inspiration during that commercial. Tomorrow, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. What is it?
Charles Nelson O'Reilly.
He's angry.
I think Bill O'Reilly could talk about his his gay half brother who came out of the closet.
Ever since he dropped the O, we disowned him. We said you can't have the O. Go out to Hollywood, make your fame, drop the O. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, tomorrow, Charles Nelson O'Reilly.
Yeah, my unknown brother.
Or what if it was Charles Nelson O'Reilly talking as Bill O'Reilly?
Oh, that could be done too. That could be done too. Quite a little bit more seasoning, but absolutely, absolutely.
Hi there, Charles Nelson.
Hi, Donald.
This is a no spin zone.
Here he is, everybody. Big apologist for Rosie O'Donnell.
That's right.
Big fan of Rosie and her millions of smelly cats.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, guys.
He smelled underneath that bandana.
Whoa.
News from the future. Obama wins. If the election were held today...
My name's Barack Obama, and I'm running for president.
There he is. If the election were held today, and by gosh, don't you think it ought to be, Barack Obama would be the president.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
With over 17 months between now and Election Day, the Zogby poll shows Obama to be the only candidate who can get enough votes to beat all the Republican challengers.
Isn't that the people who do the restaurant guide?
No, I don't think it's the same company. I'm not sure.
I'm not. Bad attempt at a joke. I thought someone would follow it. Thank you.
They both start with Z. Yes, they do.
Zogby.
I just got to keep thinking. Reminds me, what would Rosie say?
Zogby?
What
Zagat?
What would Rosie say? Fagat?
Zagnut. I have no idea what I'm doing right now.
The egg. Zig and zag.
Of course, that's like this is an unusual day.
Oh, wow. It is close with Obama leading.
Zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
The rolling papers.
The rolling papers, that's a product.
Oh, I love those for weed.
Mm-hmm. I'm out. You're king of the zags?
Yeah!
King of the zags.
And that would be like those teams, the Gonzaga, one of the Stags.
Yeah, the Zags.
I'm king of the what?
King of the Zags.
King of the Zags. Mm-hmm. Not the Stags. King of the Zags.
The Zags.
That's right.
It is close, with Obama leading Arizona Senator John McCrazy by just three little points. He would beat Obama would beat Giuliani by six.
I love it when you editorialize like that.
What? Both Clinton and Edwards can be beaten by Giuliani and McCain, according to the survey. Now, are people born that way, or do they get recruited by people who already are? We're talking, of course, about Bush lovers of the political kind. The journal American Psychologist has published a study that shows supporters of President Bush are born and made. University of Nebraska political scientist John Hibbing found that DNA, genetics, are responsible for as much as 50% of our political beliefs. The rest, of course, comes from our environment, our upbringing.
She's pretty and she's nice.
I'm sorry. It was supposed to be a George Bush type. We didn't reset the machine.
Well, Hibbing found it.
The only thing I can tell you is that when I speak, I'm very conscious about the audiences that are listening to my words.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's DNA. Yeah.
Someone is. Mm-hmm. Hibbing found that even twins raised separately almost always have the same politics. He says if we understand this, maybe we'll be more tolerant of people whose views are completely wrong.
You know, again, over the weekend when you have a chance to talk to people, as I did, other people,
mm-hmm.
do you find yourself maybe coming to the conclusion that I did with some help from some other people, that all the talk about if you think we should be in Iraq or not, it's really pointless.
Yep. Seems to be.
Bush is going to, he's got the job until January, really, of 2009.
Yeah, I mean, things are going to be status quo until he's gone.
He's got the job, and he has said, I'll give him credit, at least in this regard. I'm not a fan of his,
right.
But he has come out and said, if you like it or not, I'm going to stay in this war, and either the president after this, the president after that, are both going to thank me because it's our kids, or whatever his BS mm-hmm. line is.
Right.
He ain't changing his mind.
They can do it.
He's not changing his mind, and I find myself, even though I want everybody to get out of Iraq, there was a news story the other day where I think it was Iraqi citizens helped our troops pinpoint the location of an al-Qaeda cell.
That's in girl.
And you know, I'm seizing on, I think everybody in this country would really, sincerely, if you're really a patriotic American, you'd love to see the guy win. I really would. I'd love to see him win. I just don't think it's going to happen, and right. I'm sick of guys getting killed.
Right. I agree, but the point that I was getting in with these people I was having this discussion with, and I finally got beaten down on it, was
it's his sandbox.
Yep.
Why are we wasting
time? It's his
time?
Sandbox because we don't have the number of Democrats in Congress to overturn a veto. So, I mean, that's it. That's the way it's going to be.
And being as he's making no secret about the fact he's got the job, it's going to be his way or the highway until he gets out of the job,
mm-hmm.
and he's got whatever reasons. Why are we in general? I mean, I know we're going to sit around and go, we shouldn't be in this war. We shouldn't be in this
right.
war. But, you know, if it's inevitable, you know what I mean, Bob?
Well, you're right. Because otherwise, it's what we've been doing. And you know what? It's frustrating. And I also don't think it's fair to attack Democrats, say, hey, we elected you to go in and get us out of the war. Well, guess what? It doesn't work that way because you don't have the numbers. And you can't blame the people that are in there right now. They're giving lip service to it because that's all they can do.
I was talking with a very, very absolutely hard as just stone Republican
mm-hmm.
who was saying to me, what has he done besides being stupid? He has said, you know, and I said, okay, now, Buzz,
all right, I'm listening.
You know, I'm like you.
I'm
went, oh, isn't that enough?
Mm-hmm.
But then the guy really said, he has said he wants to stay there. This is his plan.
Mm-hmm.
You elected him. You guys tried to get him kicked out of office. You guys tried to get your movement going. You can't get it going. Why don't you just shut up and let him try it? Because we really don't have a choice. Do we really?
That's
kind of what
I stop trying, though, right? Yeah, but the thing is, but the point is, logistically, this is why I agree
even
with
if
that.
He, even
because
if
there's
said,
nothing you can really do with the numbers. It's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
Politics is a numbers game. And you don't have in Congress right now, unless you have some amazing defection
right.
in the Republican Party, it is going to be status quo.
And what started this was the entire talk about Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth
right.
Hasselbeck.
Right.
And I think I finally brought up the point, I'm tired of hearing those cows argue about it. And I said, I'm tired of hearing everybody argue about it. And if that's the way that it's going to be, well, that's the way that it is.
Well, you're always going to have people, you know, I think you have to keep plug-in on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact is, if you get complacent and you throw your hands up in the air and go, well, it's his sandbox, when it come election time for the presidential election, who knows if there's going to be a motivated electorate to actually make change. Because if we're in the same situation, would you not agree if we're in the same situation we are right now, come presidential election time, that it's, you know, okay, it's time to make a move.
Right,
it's time to get the hell
right.
out of there.
The other guy, well, first off, the other guy's got to win.
Right.
Then the other guy, the other side's got to figure out a way to get us out of there. So
right.
if you're even looking at that, I mean, you've got to get the hell out of there. Do you really think our guys are going to be back tomorrow?
No, they're not going to be back tomorrow, but I think what you're going to see with this really in the long run, you've seen it already, Republican pressure on President Bush
right.
saying, hey, listen, you know, this is not working. If this continues to go like it's going right now, you're going to eventually see his own party. But it is his, when you say it's his, Sam, and I like that expression, he's going to make the eventual
you
decision.
You get down to the bottom, to the absolute bottom rung of this, he's got the job. Everybody can yell and scream about it as much as we want.
He's got the job, but the closer we get to the elections, it's not just presidential election, it's also the congressional elections.
Yeah.
And his own party will exert enough pressure on him that if it is status quo, if things are going the way they're going right now, you're going to see him make the decision. That's my prediction on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see him eventually say, hey, things are not going well. You know, unless, boy, wouldn't you love to be able to have somebody make an argument? Does anybody ever make an argument where they say to you, you know, I really think if we give it this surge, if we just give it a little bit more time,
I've heard that
we're gonna turn things around.
I've heard that. I heard that on Saturday night.
I don't see it happening.
Anyway, it just seems to be something that's just making us go round and round in circles.
There are three branches of government. He has one of the jobs. I think we have to keep plugging away so we can sway the numbers and get the numbers we need to make the changes.
I'd rather talk about Lindsay Lohan.
Well, I know you wouldn't.
Lilo,
so would a lot of people.
Just generally speaking.
Talk about Lilo.
Lilo.
It's going to be Lilo.
Is 08, is that going to be a senatorial election as well?
I think so. Wow. I think certain Senate seats are going to be up.
Then really, things could really switch around.
You never know. I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Lilo.
Well, I don't know.
But the reality that I keep getting back to and that I think gets people pissed off and gets people passionate and they go on and on, the reality is, you know, we're coming off the deadliest month we've had over there.
Yeah.
And I mean, people are still getting blown up, and it's driving me nuts.
Okay, but as I said to someone, and I'm on your side with this too, every month is the deadliest month. This mm-hmm. month is deadlier than last month. Last month was deadlier than the month before. You know, I finally got to the point where I said, you care about it, strap on a gun and go over there. Otherwise, he's the guy. He made the deal.
Yeah.
If you really care that much about it, put a piece of macaroni in your hat and get on your horse and do whatever Paul Revere did.
I don't know. It's very difficult. And if it was easy, you know, maybe we wouldn't have so many people dying over there. It's very difficult to figure this out. I don't know if I agree with you 100% on the fact that you just let him have the job and do it without squawking about it.
I mean, that's
what we do in this country. But that's all we're doing. We bitch about it.
That's all we're doing. Mike, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we do is bitch about it, and where does it get us?
Right now it isn't getting us very far, and there's a lot of frustrated individuals on one side of the aisle with the Democratic Congress that's in there saying, hey, you know, we brought you in to make change, and you're not making the change. And it's frustrating.
Let me say, to be fair as well, I heard from some people over the weekend who also said that they were part of they were cyclers and a motorcycle enthusiast like Mike. And they said one of their jobs was going to funerals for guys from Iraq.
Heard about that.
Because there are people, there are asswipes out there.
From Kansas.
That will...
Kansas?
Joe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was an accident. Wherever they're from, Buzz.
Right, yeah.
There are people that go to these funerals...
Mm-hmm.
To protest the war. Now, the mom and the dad that are there burying their child, you know, they had no choice in this thing.
Right.
I mean, the child enlisted to be in the service. Child got killed. What the frick are you doing there at a funeral? So these guys have to be there as security to make sure that no one screws with the funeral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no excuse for that.
What's wrong with everybody?
Can't make an argument with that.
Specifically, this is Reverend Phelps from Kansas, and he's got a big anti-gay agenda. There's some thought that he's homophobic, perhaps for a reason, but he takes people out and they protest at the funerals of American soldiers, be the soldiers gay or straight, because their position is that the reason America's in this mess is because we tolerate the gay lifestyle in this country. So they protest, regardless of the soldier's personal history, they protest at these funerals. So bikers have volunteered to show up and keep these clowns away from the funerals.
God.
Amazing, isn't it?
If you get into a discussion like I did over the weekend with people, it's, at one point, mm-hmm. your head just starts going back and forth, and you just really, you want to quote General Robert Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's inevitable, lay back and enjoy it.
Yeah.
We're beating ourselves against a wall with this thing. Until Bush leaves, ain't nothing going to change.
But don't you think that there's the chance that if people didn't squawk and didn't speak up about it, that we might be into a situation that...
What, we'll turn into communism or
something?
Yeah,
I mean...
No, we're America, no.
But that's why we scream and yell and argue, and it's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the deal about being an American, Donnie.
I know, Mike.
But I mean, I know it's frustrating. You're not the only one that's frustrated with this, too, because I mean, it seems like an exercise in futility, talking about the war, because nothing seems to ever change.
Right.
Nothing is going to change. And, you know, I think you just got to keep in there plugging.
And now the war has one more casualty, Rosie O'Donnell's job.
That's right.
Now is when I'm pissed.
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't pissed about all those soldiers losing their lives.
Now you're angry.
Now I'm pissed, boy.
Now you're angry.
Go back, I tell you what.
Yeah, there, boy.
Yeah, boy. Sure, boy. Sure.
And what's he call it? E-H? Or what's Elizabeth?
Ebeth.
Ebeth.
Ebeth. Keep showing that cleavage, baby. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Miss USA has a bad day. That's our story when we return.
Isn't that right, Regis?
And then when it came, well, she was one of the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came time for her to make her little announcement, the crowd booed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big crowd in Mexico City. They can't wait to get here, but they'll boo her while she's up there.
Controversial, yeah. Regis Philbin. That's about as controversial as he's got. Put a window into his soul a little bit.
Jumped into the deep end with that one, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah, they want to come over here, hop over our fence. Yeah.
Did you hear me mention the Beanas?
Yeah, I said my piece there, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Sure, boy. Charles Nelson O'Reilly.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Your source for warm. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we're just figuring out that we'll definitely do that bit tomorrow with Bill O'Reilly being broken up about his allegedly gay half-brother, Charles Nelson O'Reilly.
Yeah, he's very upset. He wouldn't let you know that, but he's very upset.
Plus, tomorrow, as I mentioned, we'll hear about Joe meeting Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we really will put Rob under the microscope.
He should be under a microscope because he's got West Nile virus.
Wow.
The guy's got like 8,000 mosquito bites, and it looks like he's been scratching them
uh-huh.
seriously, like with a Brillo pad. Jack, that is something.
Have you seen his arms?
I have. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
And he doesn't want you bringing it up.
It's like measles on the back of his arms.
I don't think it's measles.
Oh, my God, that's gross.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
That's gross.
And they'll be better tomorrow. It's not like they're throwing off heat much.
You're the kind of person that, like, if somebody's in back, you want to check out line at the grocery store, they take an extra step back.
Exactly. That's the kind of guy I am. People hate me.
You know why the leper went to the hockey game? Heard there was a face off in the crowd.
Bada-bing! What do you call a leper in a hot bath?
What?
Stew.
I thought it was soup.
Plus tomorrow, I'd also love to hear about, I just heard a little bit about this, about how Rob's kids have learned the F word.
Oh.
A charming father, son, and daughter story.
Well, we'll have to talk to Slough about that tomorrow.
I wonder where they heard that.
Get that right, Slough.
Call me old scratch. Anyway, hi Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, we're coming back tomorrow to do another show.
Okay.
Goody gumdrop. Only about 20 hours to go.
Oh, boy. Hey, about that high school girl in Oregon who was told she couldn't graduate until she removed the peace sign made of marigold she helped plant. She and her friends had done a lovely job. It was really nice. A lot of people in Portland, including parents and teachers, thought it was cool. But now, under pressure from a school system driven by conformity, she's removed the peace sign from the school's lawn and replaced it with the same grass that covers the rest of the lawn. Quoting Maggie Collins, I understand it's not practical to have a giant circle for the lawnmowers and stuff, but I'm definitely proud of what I did, proving that you can disagree and still conform.
Her dad wasn't happy about it. Tom.
Yeah. Tom Collins. Drove him to drink.
Yeah, he's always puckered.
His mom, Joan.
Joan Collins.
Uncle Gary.
Gary Collins?
Right. Great-grandfather Michael.
Michael Collins?
Incredible figure in Irish history, gentlemen. And they made a movie about him.
A harp.
Liam Neeson.
A harp. Please, another useless harp.
Not eligible.
A useless harp doesn't fight in words. Fight in words, Geronimo.
That's a shock.
The image of the U.S.
Okay, bites.
That got him. The image of the U.S. is taking a beating around the world, and nowhere was this more evident than at the Miss Universe pageant. It was not a good night for Miss USA last night. She fell off her high heels during the evening gown competition. She got booed by the crowd in Mexico City during the interview competition. And then she took fourth runner-up. Fifth place. Miss Japan won the night, and that pleases Donald Trump, who owns the pageant, quoting him,
"Here's a song.
I hear they go totally insane in Japan, so that's good."
Pixie.
not uncommon for a woman to fall out of her high heels. In fact, about half of all women say it's happened to them. Well, over half in the case of women ages 16 to 34. They wear heels to enhance the appearance of their legs and their asses, but they're painful, dangerous, and bad for your feet.
I'd rather see them fall out of their blouse.
Gee, the cuffs. Let those puppies go.
Yeah, free them.
A lot of the women who've fallen from heels have twisted their ankles, or worse. But two-thirds of the women surveyed say they'll keep taking the risk in the interest of looking good, even if the only thing heels are really good for is pointing at the ceiling. Your high heels are trying to kill you.
I hope they're listening back in Fairfax.
You know they are.
Now let's get one more quick check of the whores in Kansas. Yep. Here is Meredith Vieira. Vieira.
The whores of Kansas, pumps are working around the clock trying to dry out flooded homes.
God bless them.
Being told now that's Ann Curry.
Oh, speaking of pumps.
Some Americans, meanwhile, have figured out how to go green and lean. The old-fashioned push mower is back. Lawnmowers with no gasoline engine, no electric motor. Suddenly they're all the rage. For one thing, it's easier to hear your iPod. For another, it's good exercise. And the hottest reason of all, global warming. No fumes, no oil dependence, no coal-burning electricity.
I have a homeowner.
You're a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the new manual mowers are lighter and more efficient than the ones you remember. They don't turn rocks into bullets either. The American Lawnmower Company of Shelbyville, Indiana, has been around 112 years, and quoting the sales manager, it's phenomenal. Sales continue to rise every year.
I grew up with one of those.
Does anybody remember the torture of that? I did. As a kid, I would much rather go out and cut the grass by hand.
They're much easier now.
Right? Just pull it out with your bare hands.
Because
that goddamn thing around.
You're sitting here making it sound like it's something wonderful.
There's nothing nostalgic or wonderful about that.
It was rusty, it was hard to push, and it was a struggle to do the lawn.
And good luck going up a hill.
Yes, the new ones are made of lighter metal, and the gears are more efficient, so it moves along more
easily.
Sure
they are, old-timer.
How can you distrust the American Lawnmower Company?
Of Shelbyville, Indiana. Come on.
Over 350,000 Pushmores were sold in the U.S. last year.
Push it.
But we still bought 6 million gasoline-powered walk-behind mowers.
Goddamn right, bud. That's why we are the United States.
That's amen. Right.
Finally, when the lunch bell rang, Randy Hill of Lexington, Kentucky, could apparently stand it no longer. He put down his mop at the Picadome Elementary School and took his janitorial lunch hour. Randy spent part of that hour at Walmart exposing himself to children and adults in the toy section.
Oh, dear.
You don't have education and you can't hardly get a job.
He'd been with the school system 20 years without incident until now, and he passed the criminal background checks. He's now suspended without pay while they sort all this out. And now you know how the janitor on The Simpsons got the name Willie.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Willie. All right, that's what we got to go. Check out our website if you like DonandMikeWebsite.com. We'll be back tomorrow weekend.
Right.
Episode new.
Uh-huh.
Radio.
Thing.
3 p.m.
Thing.
Time.
Thing.
Hours from now. Good day to you, sir.
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 Ed.
Mike, I can't reach this. Will you scratch it for me?
Gross. So gross.
Oh, let me see that again.
Look at him. Rob Spiewak is the leper.
How do you possibly describe how many mosquito bites do you think you have on your arms?
On my arms?
On your arms.
40.
Yeah. And they all look like red thumbtacks.
And you're looking at the clock. I don't care about the time. Are there more?
You've always cared about the clock. Yes, there are more.
How many mosquito bites do you think you have total? And then we'll pick this up tomorrow.
I'd say 70.
And that's not even counting the balls.